quickening is here. Massive alien disclosure is set to happen, possibly even in days. Plus, Trump's meltdown is accelerating.
InfoWars, tomorrow's news, today.
Facts and common sense are in. Yes, there have been corrupt empires. Yes, they manipulate. Yes, there are secret societies. Yes, there have been oligarchies throughout history. And yes, today in 2002, there is a tyrannical organization calling itself the New World Order, pushing for worldwide government, a cashless society, open borders, total and complete tyranny, where human beings are absolutely worthless. There's 6.25+ billion of us, and the globalists have said it many times. There's too many of us. We're causing a problem. We need to be culled at the tune of 80%. It's amazing to talk about that, but it's the globalists, the UN, their own public statements, and they've convinced a lot of liberals and elitist conservatives and others that by going along with this, that we're intelligent members of society. It's the ultimate Malthus worldview. It is this radical, virulent form of social Darwinism. It's the excuse of tyrants. And by creating open borders where there's no national sovereignty and only global bodies that control all the resources, by centralizing and socializing health care, the state becomes God, basically, when it comes to your health. And then by releasing diseases and viruses and plagues upon us, we then basically get shoved into their system.
Discover trends and global developments years before they happen, right here on The Alex Jones Show.
Congressman Tim Burchett has a lot of credibility with me. He didn't go along with the Republicans or the Democrats on the Epstein cover-up, just a lot of other things. You tell he's the real deal. His voting record's excellent. And he was asked yesterday, we got the clip coming up on Fox News about former Congressman Gates being briefed about alien human hybrids by the Army. And he said, well, I can't give you classified information, but he said, just what we were shown 2 weeks ago would terrorize the entire population, and you just wouldn't even believe it. He says Americans would freak out if they knew what Congress has been told. Now, I've been on top of this for a long time, and I can tell you, most of what Congress has given, most of the guests, and I'm not putting Joe Rogan down, he knows a lot of them are full of it, he's always trying to figure out who's accurate, who's not, he asks me all the time, will come on as these DOD whistleblowers and just put out absolute crap. So they're flooding the zone with a bunch of disinformation. But there's also a lot of real stuff going on. And we know that because all of the ancient religions in the Middle East tell the exact same story, the same one that's in Genesis. In fact, in more detail. And it was Ridley Scott, when he made Prometheus, the prequel to Alien, told the New York Times years after it came out, and I said this when it came out, I said, this is the elite's creation story. None of them are atheists. None of them believe we came from evolution on its own, but directed evolution, accelerated evolution, and this is what they believe, because I've been around these people. And they do. And then he gives this big interview years later saying, oh, this is my religion. This is how I think the Earth was actually made. And you notice it's the aliens are humanoid giants, 10, 12 feet tall. And they've got a bioweapon that they use to kill other humanoid colonies that they don't like because they've seeded us here. And they're sending ships from their attack base out to wipe our planet out. And that's why it's interesting later humans get to a development level and go back out and, well, they shot at us and missed, but shit at us and hit. So, and that's what's in the Anunnaki legends and in all of that is that that God decided to wipe us out because we've been mixed with another alien species he didn't like. So this is all about to come out, folks.
I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken Methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade, to take Starting Meds to Kick In. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Dune, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Take you live to the Central Texas Command Center and the heart of the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
Friday, April 3rd, 2026. I am your embattled host coming to you from deep in the heart of Texas, Austin, transmitting worldwide. All right, I'm going to spend the third and fourth hour on humanity's origin story. To understand the present, you must know the past and the beginning. And if you believe the Bible, if you believe the Sumerian texts that are carved in stone, if you believe the Egyptian text, if you believe all the books of the Bible that they confirm were written after Christ's death, but pulled out, it's War of the Worlds, baby. But the church does not want you to know that. Both the Orthodox and the Catholics. And it is a fact. And it is what the establishment knows and what they've been keeping from everybody. And 100%, all this high technology, all this stuff you see being set up, all the direction of this, the humans you see that appear to be in control are not in control. Satan is in control. The prince and power of the air, for we fight not against flesh and blood, but against off-world entities. Read it. It's in the Bible. Pull it up. New Testament, Old Testament. And what's in the Sumerian text, the Epic of Gilgamesh, the Anunnaki? It's the same story in the first book of the Bible. And boy, have you heard of this before? All about a global elite working with the off-world aliens, and the aliens decide that the humans, there's too many of them, and so they re-engineer us to be slower, stupider, infertile. What does the Old Testament tell you? That people were living 800 years on average. But then God, or the gods, cursed us and engineered us to only live 75 on average. Well, that's the Epic of Gilgamesh. That's the Sumerians. And now that they've been able to translate the older Egyptian hieroglyphs, it says the same thing. So, take a look around, boys and girls. You're not in Kansas anymore, and you never were. But there is so much baloney loaded into all of this, and so much disinformation. But we know that with the genetic engineering and the level of science we have, this has been a phenomenon for 20 years. Nobody's an atheist anymore. Nobody thinks that salt in the ocean just turned into life. It was all put here. Nothing on this planet is from this planet. This planet is a giant research facility. And it's had different owners and different groups. And you go to the ancient Indian Vedic text, 3,000, 4,000 years old, the oldest copies they found and things carved in stone. And all of it is mathematical equations that they now are able to translate that are super advanced on energy and sound, everything else. Oh, and the Indians have the exact same stories. So, let's go ahead and start getting into it a little bit right now, but then I want to get into the current political things that are unfolding that are so incredibly dangerous, like thermal nuclear war. But I'm going to do a deep dive with Dark Journalist, but I've got a lot of exhibits of my own and things I want to play when he joins us. But you know what? Let's just go ahead and play a short little video, a little prelude from a video I saw on X a few days ago with just a little snapshot of the Epic of Gilgamesh that they couldn't translate till whatever it was like 80 years ago. And then they found the decoding stones that explained how to decode it. And man, it's like reading a science fiction book, but it's not. And you notice the science fiction books before all this came out basically already told you this, because the Nebula Society and all those science fiction organizations and groups set up by H.G. Wells and others admitted that they were predictive programming and controlling society and leaking out hidden knowledge, but with their spin on it to the public. What he wrote, Things to Come, in the 20s? They made a movie out of it? In the 30s? High budget? H.G. Wells? And he wrote a lot of nonfiction as well. He was a head proto-globalist. And he talks about out in the year 2020s, the time we're in now, there's a global government. It has B-2 bombers that look just like a B-2 bomber that fly around dropping atomic and hydrogen bombs on any country that won't submit to the world government. And the scientists control everybody, and then everybody basically turned into robots after that. And yeah, you got medieval paintings and Aztec carvings and Japanese paintings about flying saucers everywhere. And the star that leads the three wise men to baby Jesus. The birth with no man involved, the virgin birth. Sounds like wives' tales until you realize that it's ancients watching this happen and writing it down. And then you go, oh, and you pull back. And then you really know what it is. So here's a little boil down. And again, if you've never read this, this is carved in stone. Thousands and thousands of stone tablets. Well, they found actually millions of them now, literally. They just keep digging up whole giant areas, just tens of thousands of carved tablets with the Sumerian text on it. And it's just all about the details of the caste of aliens and the guys above them and then who they work for and all the rest of it. And then you go through all the other cultures and they're saying the same thing. So let's go ahead and go to that short clip as a prelude of what's coming up.
humans existed, the Agigi gods had to do all the labor down on Earth for their rulers, the Anunnaki. But after, somewhere between 40 and 3,600 years of digging rivers, they got fed up with the work. So they gathered outside the home of their boss, the god Enlil, to formally express their discontent. Enlil then called over An and Enki, and they came up with a plan to create some new workers to relieve the Agigi of their burdens. They sacrificed Awila, the leader of the rebellious Agigi. Way to take one for the team, Awila. Then the mother goddess, Mommy, yeah, I know, right, came and mixed his blood with clay, while the other gods contributed their saliva. Next, she chanted magical incantations over the clay mixture, while Enki kneaded it with his feet. Then she pinched off 14 pieces, and after 10 months in the oven, out came the first humans. They went straight to work on creating civilization, and all seemed well for a while. But, after about 1,200 years, the human population had risen so high that Enlil couldn't sleep over their collective noise. And he called up Namtar from the underworld, commanding him to thin out their numbers. And so a plague was released upon mankind, causing countless people to fall ill and die. But an extra-wise man named Atrahasis prayed to his god Enki for salvation, and Enki told him how to end the plague. Under the god's instruction, Atrahasis told everyone to stop praying to the heavenly gods. Instead, they made a shrine for Namtar, which they lavished with offerings of bread. And Namtar was so ashamed by all this undeserved praise that he lifted his plague. After another 1,200 years, the population rebounded, and once again became too noisy for Enlil's liking. So he told the storm god Adad to withhold his rain. And a severe drought came over the whole earth, bringing humanity to the brink of starvation. But Atrahasis, who was built different, I guess, once again prayed to Enki. And under his instruction, he had everyone bring offerings to Adad, shaming the god into releasing his rain again. Eventually, Enlil got fed up with Enki foiling all of his genocidal schemes. So he announced he'd bring another, even greater calamity upon mankind, and made Enki swear not to warn any humans. Sure thing, I will not tell any human about the apocalyptic event that's about to befall them, or instruct them on how to survive it. Okay, good. Yeah, anyway, I gotta go do a thing, I'll be right back. Heed my words, Wall.
There's about to be a flood over the whole earth for 7 days, so if you want anything to survive, you're gonna need a really big boat with like a roof on it and bitumen to make it watertight.
So yeah, just giving you a heads up about that, Wall. Okay, later. Oh my gosh. How's my wall supposed to build a boat? And so Atrahasis built a boat according to Enki's specifications and loaded it up with his friends and family and his workers and pairs of every wild and domestic animal, just in time for the flood to come and wipe out all other life on Earth. After 7 days, the waters receded and the gods looked in horror at the destruction Enlil had commanded, and they despaired at the loss of their servants who fed them and tended to their needs. But then they caught the fragrance of a burnt offering made by Atrahasis, who survived the ordeal thanks to Enki's advice. After feasting on the sacrifice, Mommy admonished the gods who helped Enlil commit genocide, and she dedicated her jeweled fly necklace to the memory of the tragedy. Hey, what's he doing here? Enki, did you find a cunning loophole to the vow I made you swear?
Yes, I did. You're welcome.
Why, I oughta... Hey, do you have any leftovers? I'm actually starving. So Enlil decided to allow mankind to propagate once again. But to keep the population in check going forward, the gods decided to put a limit on people's natural lifespans. And they made a portion of all women barren, and instituted a class of chaste priestesses. Oh, they also created the baby-killing demon Pashi-
And it goes on from there. We'll air more of that later. But that's been dug up all over those ancient sites, and remember the Jews were held captive along with other groups by the Egyptians that were going along at the same time nearby, you know, just 800 miles away or 1,000 miles away or so, less. And then they had their own writing, and then they wrote about it in Genesis, which is essentially the same story. And then there were, what, 4 books of the Bible that folks decided to cut out of the Old Testament, a couple out of the New. Confirm books, and it's all about that. All the books about that, you don't get to know about that. And the preachers always tell you, the Bible's literal, except the parts in Ezekiel, and Daniel, and Revelation, and Genesis to talk about all this. But you read the other books, which I intend to do on air soon, or the key passages I was reading again this morning, it's fascinating. It's just unbelievable, folks. And all these ancients said, all the different cultures said, oh, the Egyptians have huge underground bases under the Giza Plateau that's much bigger than what's on the top, and now they've scanned it, and it's all true. And they're trying to now keep people from actually going in. And even governments are coming and saying, we want to pay to go in. Nope, can't go in. So, but a lot of these languages got lost. We rediscovered them in the last, you know, 80 years or so, 100. There's been a lot of discoveries. Couldn't read most of the Egyptian stuff either. And it's all the same story. A little bit different here and there. Jews tell the same story. Egyptians, the Babylonians, the Sumerians are the biggest and the oldest. The Persians tell the same story. The Indians tell the same story. And, I mean, I was reading some of the Vedic texts over 3,000 years old, and that's ones that they just have copies of, or it's in stone. It's older, obviously. They say 12,000, and that's what when Plato said all this was going on. Well, he said 10,000, but that was 2,000 years ago. And then they go and look at the ice records and everything, and that's when these big calamities didn't need to happen. They think there was this big multi-comet event where this comet broke up and hit all over North America, interestingly enough. And now they're digging up all these giant pyramids and stuff across the United States that have been obliterated, but they're now, with topography scanning radar, they see the cities, and they're really having trouble keeping it quiet. Turns out the East Coast should be pretty busy before, too. Turns out Florida used to be real busy. Texas, real busy. Latin America, Mesoamerica, real busy. Turns out the Mayans, Mayan culture, the Toltecs, the Olmecs, and the Aztecs that came later, same people, different structure, government, more vicious. Turns out that stuff happened, but it got turned into legend. And so it's primitive. It's humans now basically living in huts trying to describe what was handed down to them. So you have the story of the Anunnaki from the Sumerians about mixing different parts of the gods' genetics together and then making man and woman. And then you have in Genesis, God taking a rib from Adam who he'd made to then make the woman. So, Bible's literal, right? Yes, it's written to be literal. And people that don't know the history or the background or all of a sudden it's been discovered now can laugh at it, but they continue to find everything the Bible says is there. And it's funny. Plato said where the Spartans lived, or Spartans in the Spartan War, the war with the Trojans, where the Trojans lived. But before that, they weren't even sure the Trojans existed or where their city was or where their island was. But right where Plato was, archaeologists never found it. And then they finally, 30-something years ago, found a giant city that had just been basically buried in some later flood. And it was all there, Troy, just like Plato said. And Plato said tens of thousands of years before, there had been two cities. Atlantis was two. One was Atlantis, another name, that again got hit by a giant fireball out of the sky. There was also an explosion. Two different stories, different events. And destroyed it. And that it had flying machines and automatons that humans would be inside of, huge robots, mechanical machines. And now with the ground penetrating radar and all of it, it's just they're finding cities and things everywhere. But we're just awash in disinformation. None of the real stuff gets magnified. All of the BS does. And the last 6-7 years, the Pentagon flipped a switch and put all these fake intelligence operatives in front of Congress and to go on all the podcasts to flood the zone with disinformation. All these ancient cultures and the Bible tell us that there are dimensional realities more real than ours. We now know with mathematics that's true. And that our minds are able to connect to that electrochemically, which they are, that our brains are transceivers, all of our cells are, and that we're given messages through the ether. And that's what all the different cultures would do, was rituals and hallucinogens to have group hallucinations, which there's no such thing, that it raises the veil, so that you can now see beyond, because your brain already sees it. It filters it out, and you can only see a limited light spectrum in the third dimension. But Elon Musk has talked about with his company. This has been around for a long time. I remember seeing documentaries on PBS when I was a kid about it, where they could put wires into people's brains and start giving them limited sight. But now with computer programs that can train the brain, they can do it very, very quickly. Even if you never had sight before, they can wire somebody up, give them sight if they had it before, because you already have the patterns in your brain to have sight. But if you never had sight, it's very hard. But now they have computer programs where it goes in, and it starts with a very easy dot matrix with the brain training on it, and then adds more pixels, and within 6 months, a year, people can see. That's available to everybody. They just haven't decided to deploy it to you. And as Elon has said in talks, they can hook somebody up to those and show you infrared. They can hook it up where you can actually see radioactive emanations. You can turn your brain up, and then you can see everything. In fact, your eyeballs, when you are in utero, as a tiny fetus, grow out of your brain. They say the eyes are the window of the soul. Your eyes are brain tissue. Your eyes are stalks that grow out of the brain. And so your unconscious and subconscious sees everything. But the DMT, the ayahuasca, goes in and lifts the veil. But God doesn't get involved in free will. So when you take DMT, all that is going to appear to you is bad entities because they're violating a rule of God to try to manipulate us in the third dimension, because we're babies, we're children. We're supposed to be allowed to chase the butterflies and run to the park metaphorically, metaphysically, in this short lifetime, this test. But they're there to sabotage and manipulate and get us off track. And again, for 100 years, but even longer, they've had the intelligence agencies taking this stuff, doing this. They have the equivalent of astronauts that they send in to map it. I told people this many years ago on Joe Rogan. A year later, they declassified it. Indeed, they were doing it with DMT drips. Remember? I, by the providence of God, repeatedly was able to listen in on people involved in a secret project at the time based in San Francisco. When I was a child, I was blessed repeatedly to be at the right place at the right time, as God would have it, that I would hear that information. I didn't even understand it at the time until later. And I've told those stories. And of course, the stories are proven because years after I talked about it, exactly what I told you came out. And they have these shamanic events all over the Caribbean, you name it, where, depending on how much money you have, the rich people go and they close off old pyramid sites, you name it, they'll have the shaman there, and they take the DMT or they take the ayahuasca, and then upwards of 30, 40 people are seeing the same hallucination of entities coming out to talk to them. That's not a hallucination. That's the veil lifted. That's the filter lifted. God put the filter there for a reason. What does the Bible tell you? The basis of the occult and Satanism is pharmakia. The gateway to it is the drug. We'll be right back with the current war news.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the Ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bunker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. Blue. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular. I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I know. I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town.
I know. I love it.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it.
This stuff works.
Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular. Our medical grade USP Ultra Methylene Blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your Ultra Methylene Blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. Thealexshowstore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Coming at you live. 50,000 unstoppable watts.
Live from Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
It's a lie. 50,000 unstoppable watts. All right, let me finish up before I get into hours of it in the third and fourth hour with our journalists today. You don't want to miss this because disclosure is everywhere. The truth's coming out, spin, lies, deception, it's all coming up. I got my hand on the pulse here. This is really important, especially with the step they're about to pull. Operation Bluebeam is a fabled government program to fake alien invasion, but there are real documents concerning doing something like that, not Aspargum, but others, but they don't call it Blue Beam. That's a colloquial term. Like chemtrail, there's no documents on chemtrails because they don't call them chemtrails. It's geoengineering. But here is Congressman Burchett on Newsmax yesterday being asked about what former Congressman Gates is saying about animal or alien-human hybrids and animal hybrids. We know they've made those in the labs. That's human-animal hybrids, which is alien. It's new. They also made new synthetic life. That's alien. So you know, think of the definitions here a little bit differently. Think of them like the movie in the 90s, Species. They got a radio telescope aimed out at a distant star, planetary system, and they get a message in human DNA of what to implant in a female egg. And they do it. And, uh-oh, you just set up a new life form here that's going to attack you. See, Trojan horses, beware gifts from the gods, as they're called. They're not gods, but the ancients thought they were gods. But there is a God above it all, and God tells us. I've marooned this entity and his operatives here, and by the way, you're going to have to transcend it. Imagine all the struggles other populations, other peoples, other species have gone through, being given this incredible free will, godlike little g power that the Bible tells us we have. We're not God, but we have little God power. But you have to be tested, and you have to go through this process. Will you destroy yourselves with technology? Will you use it to suppress each other? Or will you use it to transcend to a higher level, not at God's level, but God wants you to transcend to the higher heavens, the dimensions, the multivariate systems? So, the third dimension is the bottom of physical matter. It's the lowest level that has physical containment, gravity. This is the playpen. This is the baby nursery. This is first level. But what an important level. Yes, life is a test. Yes, God is real. Yes, evil is real. Because free will is real. And if you're a free will entity with the powerful creativity we have, a spark of God, not God, but a spark of Promethean fire, well, that is awesome indeed. So here's the congressman saying, just what he got briefed on the show 2 weeks ago would curl your hair. Now, I know most of what Congress is being given from all my research and sources have been proven to be accurate, like our journalist, Daniel Liss, is bullcrap. The idea that there's all these aliens from trillions of miles away just flying around in tin cans doing all this, no, that's not how it happens. You always think of an alien invasion like that. It's a cheesy movie, came out over a decade ago, but remember Pacific Rim? It's entertaining, though. And where the aliens don't attack in spaceships from Mars, they interdimensionally come through a vortex in the core of the Earth. And they're here to terraform and take over our planet. I'm not saying that's real. I'm saying think like that. Okay, that's how this works. From the beginning, all this gray alien, tinker toy, flying saucers, flying around, shooting down airplanes and stuff, that's advanced human technology given to them interdimensionally by the bad guys, built. That's why suddenly it's more and more advanced. Suddenly it's these little tinker toys that are falling out of the sky, having big problems, but still have amazing abilities, to now, oh, the aliens suddenly have all these really advanced ships. No, there are ships. Almost all of them. The real aliens aren't flying around in ships, boys and girls. They've mastered time and space, and I mean mastered it. And those are the angels. And there's the good ones, and there's the bad ones. But the good ones will not intervene unless you seek it out and have free will. and have the right reason for it. The bad ones, snap your fingers, they'll show up. So don't try it. But that's why the occult's so popular, because it's real. It works. But you're being trapped. You're being sucked in. And in all the ancient black magic texts, what do the magicians want? What do the wizards want? They want to get alchemy. They want to understand the universe, how matter works. They want the secrets of science. What does Faust want? So here's the congressman.
I don't have the tinfoil hat on just yet, Congressman, but I'm wondering, you know, kind of how you react to that, because you are connected. You're on the UFO subcommittee. I mean, I'm just wondering what you make of that. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I'm still a member of Congress, so I can't really comment too much on what Matt said. But I will say this.
Wait, seriously? Are you being serious, or is that tough?
I'm being 100% serious. Okay. I'm being 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this. If they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up. You'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. We just need to disclose it all. I'm sick of it. I was briefed. I'll just tell you this. I was briefed last week on an issue, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago. And, it would have set the earth on it. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, and unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up, and the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal, and I don't take risks.
So, I'm glad you said that. I'm speechless, Congressman. We will have you back.
You should be. And I told the president, release it all. And the problem is the people that are around the president don't know and the president doesn't know the questions to ask. A few of us are going to have to get with the president and tell him what he needs to ask and where he needs to look. I mean, you know, we're in meetings and they give addresses and tell locations of items, I'll just say. And the public has a right to know, dadgummit. It's your tax dollars.
Absolutely.
Let's get it out there.
You got my attention, Congressman. I appreciate you being as forthcoming as you have been tonight. And we look forward to having you back. Look, I know Donald Trump wants to disclose something. He hasn't done it yet, but I think he wants to be the president to do that. Tim Burchett, thank you.
He does.
And they're keeping him distracted with wars and all the rest of it. But you heard the congressman. He got briefed on where the retrieve craft are, where they're being kept, basic stuff like that, okay? So, I think he's a good man, but at the same time, is he being given this information? But remember, Trump is going to go in and look at Fort Knox. Didn't do it. We're going to release all the Epstein files. Todd Blanche went on TV and said they released them all. They didn't. It's a lie. So, it's all about keeping knowledge from the public saying we can't handle it, when in truth, we have corrupt elites fighting over the technologies and information to control us. But at the higher levels, the shadowy groups above the intelligence agencies and governments, the big corporations that really run it all, that you see evidenced by the Epstein files, they know how to get in contact. And it's just like in The Golden Child with Eddie Murphy, from what I've heard basically described by these people, is they don't need DMT, drugs, any of it. They just get out their prayer mat, they sit down, and then the walls disappear, and they're getting their directives right there. Guys, try to get it on YouTube. You found it about a year ago. We played it. Just type in Demon Receives Orders in The Golden Child.
You were wise to kill Tommy Dong.
He goes and lays it out, and then walls go out, and he's in hell, and he's getting the orders. That's how they really communicate, because that's time and space. That's you know how this operates. He showed somebody 200 years ago a cell phone, they think it was magic. And what do they want? They want to corrupt the children. They want to destroy the life force. They want to get us off track with God and have us merge with this satanic entity so we can use our creativity and our spark as like its headlamps as it navigates through the universe. Because it has the knowledge of history and what we really are. We don't know who we are. And so it's able to have that power over us. All right. Iran has countless times lied. They put out their own war propaganda. It's not just us. And said that they've shot down a bunch of U.S. aircraft. That was not true. And now they have shot one down, and they've published photos of it. We don't know if they've captured the pilots. They think the pilots may have been captured. And I was really concerned about this because as the U.S. and Israel thought they had air superiority, they would start bringing aircraft in lower and lower and lower. And if we do have ground invasions with A-10 Warthogs and with Cobras and Sea Cobras and Apaches, yeah, they've got some armor on them, but those close-range missiles and rocket-propelled grenades and all that, they're going to get in there. And we're going to see serious casualties. And Trump's for ground invasion, then he's against it, now he's back for it. Sources are saying, no, they're told they're going in. But they're always told that, so we don't know if that indeed is the case. But the F-15 Strike Eagle U.S. aircraft shot down. They reportedly have U.S. crews searching and the dangerous mission to try to get them off the ground. If I was a betting man, I would imagine the Iranians are going to get the pilots if they lived. And we don't even know that. So pray for those folks. Iranians fire on U.S. helicopters as they search for shot down crew. Yeah, I didn't even know this was going on. So see, this is how you can cause a chain reaction of casualties, like Black Hawk Down. Then if a helicopter gets shot down, then you got to have more people go in to save them. Get that with audio. Let's play that as soon as you're ready. Thank you. So there's that chain reaction we were just talking about. But while we're getting that footage with audio for you, I can barely see this. So if you're watching on the internet, it may degrade it a little bit. But you can see helicopters off in the distance and small arms fire at them. Yeah, so who knows? Who knows what's going to unfold? Was that a Chinook? A Blackhawk? That profile looks like a Chinook to me. Those are faster than Blackhawks. And again, Americans see pilots capture whatever. People are getting enraged. It's going to add to the war fever. Not a good thing any way you slice it. So let me go over the war news here. We are seeing more, let's just say this, incorrect information from President Trump. That's a Blackhawk. No, that's a... Yeah. That's a Blackhawk. Is that a pet? Blackhawk. So there's a lot of this going on. But Trump had said, we've blown up basically all their missiles. All they got is BB guns left, is the quote. And they also said they're trying to give up. And that's been proven to not be true over and over and over again. And now U.S. intelligence, it's in mainstream news, are saying, no, they've still got a lot of missiles. And they're making more, and they are not trying to negotiate. Well, because their back's against the wall. Every time they try to negotiate, the negotiator gets blown up. Happened yesterday. Israel doesn't want a negotiation, and they're in charge, and so this continues, even though Trump wants an off-ramp. And he looks at Mark Levin and says, you know, I listen to evil people, even though they're evil, and I probably shouldn't listen to you, but you're nice to me, so I do it. See, he's not happy about being set up here. And Trump is seeking $1.5 trillion for defense in new budget. That's what, $300 billion bigger? So Now Trump's saying, oh, we'll have the strait open soon. We've been hearing that for almost a month. So I'm not even here. I don't want Trump to fail. I didn't want Trump to go sideways. I've seen the leftist talking point. I don't have time to watch a lot of it. But, I mean, all over the TV, all over the Internet, all the top Internet talk show hosts, liberals, people with millions of viewers, are Alex Jones admits he's wrong. Alex Jones admits Trump was always bad, and he needs to come out and admit it's his fault. No, we got a lot of good things done with Trump and shut down a lot of your evil agendas and did stop a lot of wars. And now we're horrified that Trump's going sideways like you. You guys are openly evil. Let's put that back up. Breaking now. Iran war updates. One American rescued from fighter jet down over Iran. Officials say the fate of a second airman shot down an F-15E warplane was unknown. It was the first time during the five-week war that a U.S. warplane has been brought down over Iran. New York Times reporting that. We'll continue to track that as it unfolds. So back to what I was saying. The left's like, what do you mean Trump's lying? He always lied. No, I know all the issues. I study him. It was such a fresh air the last 9-10 years where he would get something wrong sometimes, interpretation, but it was generally correct, almost always. Now, you see it. It's like five or six different changing the story every day. And it's terrible. And the real pollsters have the proven best track record were the first to warn that Trump was going to kill his approval rating with all the stuff he's been doing months and months and months ago. The Epstein thing, all of it. So the left is saying that Alex Jones and Tucker Carlson and Megyn Kelly and we're all abandoning Trump because his approval rating's down and we just want to support somebody popular. A lot of supported Obama if that was the case. No, we want someone that saves the country and the world. We want someone that reverses the leftist, globalist, satanic policies. I know I do. I mean, Tucker had total access, super big buds with the president, J.D. Vance, everybody, and was in there toe-to-toe fighting Netanyahu in the last 14, 15 months to stop this. Tucker has done what he's done out of a feeling of responsibility. Not for clicks, not for access. Tucker isn't speaking out against the president because that's popular. Leftists don't buy anything. They don't buy your nicotine pouches. They don't buy your supplements. The left's not my audience. I'm not catering to them. I cater to the truth. I don't cater to, quote, right wing or anything. I just go, what's the most accurate thing? How do I get it right? And I say it. Damn, that's easy. They're the ones that are influencers. They're the ones that get paid to say what they say. And by the way, it's on the right wing, too. You know, coming up, there was huge criticism by the Salem Media Company. It's powerful talk radio block and multimedia. They've got some good hosts on there. I'm not going to say they're all bad because they're on there. But they've been calling Carlson, Katarlson, and saying he's a foreign agent. He should be put in prison, a bunch of them. And it turns out that Salem, I knew this 20 years ago, but specifically, and the director of it, and all of them, are on huge contracts to the Israeli government. And Israel said 6 months ago, we're going to increase our funding in the U.S. in the 8-front war to pay for propaganda. So there they are calling Tucker a foreign agent. And they call me that and all this other ridiculous crap. And you're literally Salem, and I've got all the documents here, is literally run by the Israeli government. And that's not a good thing. Talk about Russia involved in elections and all the rest of this. So that's where we are. And it is horrifying that that is happening and this is openly going on. And when I say this, people say, oh, you just care about money. What does that mean? The globalists know we're on the edge of bankruptcy as a country. They want us to go into the Great Reset like a third world country under their control. Trump has a great recovery plan. that is has a great shot of turning around, but not if you close the Strait of Hormuz, as we warned over a year ago, and now it's done it, and it's creating a shockwave that most economists think will already mess up Trump's recovery currently. But if it keeps going, for sure. It's about economic bondage. Economic freedom is about economic mobility. You know the old song, I owe my soul to company store. Whether you were a sharecropper in Alabama or East Texas, or whether you were in West Virginia a coal miner, you had to live basically on a company rented shack. You had to buy your food from the company store as part of your contract so they could gouge you and everything else. And that's how they controlled you. It's slavery by another name. Indentured servitude. And so that's why, yeah, I'm worried about the money, about our country going bankrupt. And that's why with horror, I didn't want to criticize Trump too much. I mean, I'd say the bad stuff he was doing to get him to correct, because I was looking at all the good stuff and saying, you know, we've got to keep that going. It's night and day of the Democrats. But then when you launch a war on Iran, let Israel start it to drag us in, and then say, none of you are good. You're all traitors. Tune into Mark Levin. He speaks for me. He is the example of what I am now when he was a never-Trumper and all the other never-Trumpers. And they literally say, hey, Americans are supposed to die. It's what you signed up for. They're so nasty. And then I see obvious insider trading by his administration. And I've criticized Democrats for that ad nauseum. And I see, oh, executive order protecting glyphosate and starting to block Kennedy and Pam Bondi blocking, taking Florida out of the water and everything else. It goes on and on. And now starting to soften on the border. And I'm like, I don't like the change in course. As I've been saying for 8-9 months, and it gets worse and worse and worse. I'm like, okay, I got to get really mad at Trump. I got to get on his ass, and I got to get my huge audience of activists who I know agree with me. The audience is wanting me to push harder, and I agree. Because letting Trump continue down this road is not good. And then statements like, well, you know, we can't help fund Medicare and Medicaid anymore. We got to worry about war. And then the new budget cuts a bunch of that because it's got to go to the war. And people are like, well, we should get rid of Medicare and Medicaid. It is communism. Yeah, but you got to wean people off, and it's political death to do that. And if we're going to give trillions of these wars and crap, we can give billions to old people. Okay? So, I mean, you know, cut the illegal aliens off of it. But, you know, we got a bunch of people who don't know how to take care of themselves, or they're old and sick and disabled. We'll get to them last. We'll phase it out. We'll probably not. You don't cut that off. Plus, you lose the midterm saying that. And then you lose the whole thing to the Democrats that want to cloud and pivot and bankrupt us on purpose using that. Yeah, Trump fired the head of the army and other generals. I mean, it's just, it's wild. Look, I got a lot more to hit on this. And then I got a bunch of domestic news and a bunch of really wild stuff coming up. And then we're going to do a couple hours on what are they hiding? What's about to come out with the alien UFO file? It's going to be massive broadcast today. Please share the live feed. Real Alk Show's on X right now and on Rumble, the Alk Show show.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly, with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high-quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Our medical grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at thealexshowstore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a 1 month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at thealexshowstore.com and at Funzer Operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at thealexshowstore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexJonesStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Plug last hour. We really need your support. The products, the ultramethylene blue, you name it, are absolutely insanely good. Saw JP Sears. He came in here tired, really felt sick. He's a health nut. Took my methylene blue, felt incredible by the end of the interview. And he said, yeah, I'm taking another methylene blue. Didn't do this. In fact, I thought we cut a promo out of that. Can I have that too? I want to air that later. Can I have the JP Sears? Put that on the computer. I didn't see it on my list. But we have the widest selection of t-shirts and hats and things at thealexshowstore.com. They're really cool. We've got limited edition InfoWars shirts that are special, the 1776 line that we need right now to fund this operation, plus they're historic. Here's a promo on it. Bad guys all over the world, the EU, NATO, the Rockefeller Foundation, the Democrat Party, they all recognize InfoWars and its history. Since 1997, when I started the website and started using that name, as being probably the most devastating weapon of truth against them. And that's why they've tirelessly attacked us, censored us, and tried to shut us down. But because you stood with us as modern Paul Revere's, as true info warriors, we've not only stayed on air, but we've become more effective and reached even more people, not just here, but around the world. This is 1776 worldwide. Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. And the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com. We've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller, navy blue with red InfoWars on it, and adding on the shoulder 1776. We also have a new line promoting the 250th anniversary of the American Republic, about to show you in a moment. But these are historic shirts, and they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexshowstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. Again, we the people, that means you and I, literally are the InfoWars. We are the eyes and ears on the ground. We are the people engaged in the fight to awaken humanity and seeing giant successes. This is personally one of my favorite shirts in the new line. Dozens of new limited edition shirts in the 1776 line and hats. I love this one. InfoWars. All gut, no quit. Remember all the times the last few years where they had the fake auctions and raided us and turned the electricity off and got overturned in court? Oh, we're still battling. We wouldn't still be here if it wasn't for your fight. I'm the InfoWar. You are the InfoWar. And that's who we are. So you want to get this camo classic InfoWars shirt right now at thealexshowstore.com. A lot of these new shirts and hats are totally new designs, but a lot of them are classics, but limited edition with 1776 on the shoulder. Now here's the classic InfoWars logo on a white shirt. Never done black on white. Seems like we should have. Looks great. Got the 1776 on the shoulder. You are literally funding and supporting and wearing your uniform in the fight to defeat the globalists. And there's not just the new InfoWars 1776 line of hats. There's things like this bad boy, just real clean, classic Americana USA. And then, of course, we've got the new limited edition America at 250 years old. And
the back of these shirts are amazing Americana. And I designed this, the Betsy Ross flag, with 250 on it. Get yours now, thealchemstore.com. Semi-quintennial, that means 250, baby. America's birthday with badass hats as well. And this is just a small sampling of the designs, thealchemstore.com. InfoWars is 28 years old. America's 250. And look at the back of this clean shirt. USA 250. 1776 forever. Again, from the bottom of my heart, I want to thank you all for your past support. And just let you know, it's up to you whether this continues on. The info war lives on through you. I suggest you get some of these classic designs while you still can, because in the future, if they just shut this down, we're going to have big problems selling InfoWars named apparel. Could be your last chance to get it. Thanks for your support. Take action now at theauctionstore.com. I thank you from the bottom of my heart for being part of the true heart of America and the resistance against the globalists. God bless you all. Back. Stay with us in 60 seconds. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now, thealexshowstore.com.
Austin, Texas, broadcasting worldwide. It's Alex Jones.
All right, as I predicted 33 days ago, this war is going to go on for a long time. Iran is not giving up. And now they're getting ready to go into Krog Island. Floating hospitals, hovercraft, drone lasers, Trump force ready to land in Iran. And what regime has in store for them. We're going to be getting into that coming up. But I don't like calling Trump a liar. I have fought. I have paid. I have been through hell. And we've gotten so much done with him. But he's going sideways. And it'd be like a horse you had for 10 years. Your favorite horse. You're into horses. Sweet horse. Smart horse. Fun horse. Feed it carrots. Feed it apples. And then one day you're sitting there brushing it, and the horse just turns around and bites you right on the nose and bites half your nose off. Horses do that. And you're just sitting there, blood pouring out. You don't kill the horse, you just sell it. Well, Trump's an important horse because he can destroy the world. And so he just basically bit us for no reason. And we all know it's a terrible idea. I mean, we got polls out, 84% of Americans don't want ground troops. All these famous right-wing hawks that are smart, that actually have been in combat, say don't do it. Like the chairman of the Joint Chiefs and Eric Prince. And now they just relieved the head of the army and these other generals. We don't know why. I would imagine it's because they told Trump, we do not want to go into Iran. Let us explain it to you. But Trump continues to say they're trying to give up. Trump continues to say that they're going to make a deal. And every time they try to meet, the Israelis blow them up. Happened again yesterday. And the Iranians are like, we're not meeting with you anymore. We're mobilizing your full war. We're keeping the Strait of Hormuz closed. Take your bases and leave. Give us $500 billion or we close it. We keep it closed. And Trump says, oh, it'll be open soon. Or then he says, no, actually, we don't care if it stays closed. It's up to all you other governments to fix it. It's your problem when Israel started it and drug us into it. And Israel won't even say they're going to help us with ground troops.
But then the talking heads of Israel call myself and Tucker Carlson and others traitors and scum and Nazis, and Joe Kent's the leader of a white supremacist coup because he's against the ground war. What's he know? 11 combat tours, highly decorated, you know, CIA commando, head of counterterrorism. And what does that mean, you know? It's like, next we're going to ask Tom Brady how to throw a football. Who do you think you are, Tom Brady? Tom Brady? What's he going to do next? You know, ask Beethoven how to write symphony? Huh. So, as Trump heralds regime change, Iran's leaders remain hardliners. U.S. intelligence assesses Iran maintains significant missile launching capability, sources say. Well, do we need U.S. intelligence to tell us that? The last four nights, we've seen record missiles blasting countries all over the Middle East, including Israel. But they arrest you in the UAE, in Israel, and everywhere else. They've arrested now like 1,500, it was 1,000 last week, journalists in the UAE if they show a report on a missile coming in. But for some reason, Fox News is allowed to show it. And they're like, yeah, we got missiles coming in. They stopped that one. They stopped that one. Oh, they didn't stop those. On the horizon, you see mushroom clouds even in the dark at night. And you're like, and then, well, we'll come right back after that, this break. And Trump's like, they didn't even have a BB gun. They have nothing. Stone Age. I mean, it's just like, what? I don't need the U.S. intelligence to tell me that the Iranians still have missiles. When they just launched the last 4 days, the biggest attacks yet. Do I need a commentator who's a boxing match going, wow, they got this fighter's got a lot of energy in the seventh round. You can see who's got the energy. And Trump's like, we knocked them down. They have no energy. Meanwhile, they're pow, 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 pow. And yeah, we're blowing the snot out of them even worse. But the regime isn't falling. So 18-wheelers and boats being blown up, what's that do? And if Israel can get us to go on the ground, which they're pushing, we are fully trapped into this thing. Because if we start putting troops on the ground and they get repulsed or pinned down, then Trump is going to be like, oh, if I pull out now, I'm a weenie forever. And they know that. And he's going to fully commit. And then we're in full war, sweethearts. And when they bring in a national draft and stuff, the censorship is going to be unbelievable. So, and the totalitarians know they're pushing us over the cliff here. And I am trying to stop this. And Trump's presidency will be destroyed. They're going to hang him out to dry when this is over. He can still maybe turn back. I am doing all of this from a position of trying to save the country. U.S. intelligence assesses Iran maintains significant missile launching ability, sources say. Oh, really? See, I don't need to go off assessments. Real intelligence is what is going on with your own eyeballs. Is that assessment true? I don't know. Biggest missile attacks the last 4 days ever? I don't know. Is that true? Headline should be, it appears Iran held back much of its forces. Iran missile supplies larger than previously thought. Iran more redundant than recently thought. Good God, people. As U.S. bombs Iran, Pope Leo takes aim at the idea of the God of War. Trump requests $1.5 trillion for military spending and says, sorry, can't help with Medicare and Medicaid. If you're going to do that, then at least don't say it. Oh, it's 10D chess. No, it's what he calls not caring is what I call early onset dementia. And look, when I've been working 2 or 3 days too much, at 50-something, I feel like I got, you know, I'm kind of like, ooh. And people, my family said, do you remember what you did last night? It wouldn't be something bad, but I'd like say something or do something. Like, I don't remember that. No drinking, no nothing, just exhausted. Worked 20 hours. Do not make good decisions when I've been working 20 hours. He's 79. He's Superman. Nobody's not saying he's got a personal nuclear reactor running him, but He ain't Superman in the real world. I mean, you call him Superman, but not really Superman. Trump should really take a few days off and just pray and just think about this. Pray for President Trump, and I'm dead serious when I say that. Because we had repudiated the left. There's a global awakening. Populism was winning. We're in the fourth turning. Great things are happening, and I want to salvage Trump. I'm going to criticize him. I'm going to give it to him with both barrels, but it's from a place of love for all of us, including him. These people that were never Trumpers and said, damn Trump, screw Trump, I hate Trump, put Trump in prison, that's all his best buddies now. Yeah, we're running out of fertilizer, folks. A third of the world's fertilizer comes out of the Strait of Hormuz, about 32%. 21% or so comes out of Ukraine. Ukraine's basically been cut off. Now this, and we're in better position than most countries. They have riots all over Asia now. The fuel's already run out. Stacks of news on that. And again, liquid natural gas is used for making the chips for the power plants they've got in Taiwan, where 80% of our advanced chips get made. I think it's like 90% or more. We've moved some here. I think it's like 85% now. It was like 95% a year ago. I mean, Trump's really making some good moves, but not quick enough. And they basically stopped chip production. Are you starting to figure this out a little bit? I think you are. Iran beefs up defenses, recruits children as prepares for ground war. And idiots go, oh, kids. you think a 12-year-old, 13-year-old with a grenade launcher and a machine gun that's trained on it, they're worse than adults historically because they just are fearless. Child soldiers are nothing to turn your nose up on. But people who don't study war think it's a joke. Hey, look, Iran's. No, Iran's got 1 million troops and 1 million auxiliary, and now they're calling up their children. No, when you see that, you go, these are some mean sons of bitches. You know, Miami, U.S. tank crews and Russian tank crews died when 12-year-old Germans fired phosphorus bazookas into their tanks. I used to always ask all these World War II vets for my grandpa's buddies when we go deer hunting and stuff almost every weekend back when I was a kid. We lived 2 hours from the ranch in Dallas. I had no idea how cool those guys were. They were all really, really cool. He'd been in the Army Air Corps, but most of them had been, for whatever reason, had been in Europe. Battle of Bulge, all of it. And I would always beg him at 3 a.m. They get us up. They're cooking biscuits and gravy in there in the shack. And I'm great hearing all these stories. And they're already playing dominoes and drinking whiskey at 4 a.m. About to go out. And they'd be like, here, kid, have a cigarette. You know, and I'd like, tell me a war story. Tell me a war story. And they would do it every once in a while. And you'd go, all right, well, I was coming in. You know, there with General Patton, and we come into this town, and this woman looked like Marilyn Monroe, most beautiful blonde woman I've ever seen. She walks out in a beautiful black mink coat, and she opens it up so she could distract all of us. She's naked. And I knew what she was about to do, and I had the machine gun up on top. And sure enough, she then jerked in for her Luger. And he goes, and I cut her in half. And I'll never forget that beautiful woman sit there cut in half. Now, stop asking me war stories. They were old, nice old men to me. But when they didn't ever want to tell war stories. They didn't, you know, because it's not fun to go back and access that information. And they a few other times they said, and I was like 6, 7, 8, 9 years old. I didn't learn to shut up about it after that. But they'd be like, yeah, I killed little boys not much bigger than you. Didn't want to kill him, but I killed him. Stop asking about it. So that's what this is really all about. Oh, but the neocons. Oh, Iran's so desperate, they're calling up their kids. Yeah, for total war. So that's the reality of this, ladies and gentlemen. As Trump heralds regime change, Iran leaders remain hardliners. He just, there's one of two things. He's either completely in dementia, which we're starting to see signs of, or he's lying to us. Which one is it? I don't know. Answer the question. A mixture of both? And then we got stuff like this. You know who the most unpopular country in the world is in Gallup polls and others now? It's Israel. You know, 20 years ago, they were one of the most popular because they were seen as the underdog, and then Arabs would gang up on them and all that. And I grew up supporting them. My family wasn't ever anti-Israel. But everybody now knows Israel's the bully. And Israel's in control of our policy. And so now we're tied to that. And guess what? For the first time ever, China, communist China, that has 3 million Muslims in slave camps and harvests their organs, that kills political dissidents, that has, you know, had one-child policies, communist China, godless communist China, is now more popular than the United States of America. By the way, America has not been more popular in global polls since Reagan, when Trump got reelected. The world saw that the propaganda actually liked it and was hoping for peace. Now America is the most unpopular since polling began. Communist China is now seen as the good guy. Wow, great job, Mark Levin. China edged past U.S. in global approval ratings. While neither country commands broad support, China surpassed the United States in global approval ratings with a median of 36% approval of China's leadership compared to the U.S. 31 globally. And Trump has a 33% approval rating with general voters. Lowest here. He was 56 8 months ago. So there you go, boys and girls. Absolutely disgusting. And we get more talk of this all day long. Make a deal before it's too late. Trump threatens Tehran again as Iran-Oman draft protocol to reopen the Strait of Hormuz, which calls for the U.S. to end the war and pull out, which ain't going to happen. And then you got this, and I'm still trying to find out why, and I'm looking into it. But they already purged who they thought was bad, and they got rid of a lot of bad people. They got rid of DEI, and I was all, hey, Hegseth, great. He's smart, got a lot of courage, he's charming, he's got a great military record. But he didn't join with the chairman of the Joint Chiefs warning Trump not to do this, and he's too optimistic about it all. And so, not a good sign in the middle of this war to remove the head of the army, who was not known as some leftist. Hegseth, wartime firing of top general stuns officials. It's insane. And I bet you money, it comes out in the next 48 hours, that he told them exactly what the chairman of the Joint Chiefs told Obama when Obama said, deny the air to Russia and go into Syria. And the Marine Corps general, who's the chairman, said, we'll follow your order, sir, but that's war with Russia. On the escalation ladder, it moves to nuclear weapons within a few days. We'll follow the order. Didn't say no. He said, we'll follow your order. Give us your order. And Obama said, let's not do that. When Obama staged the chemical attacks with al-Qaeda to blame Assad, but the al-Qaeda operatives wanted to get money from back home, so they bragged, firing it, said, durka, durka, Muhammad Jihad. You know, the chlorine gas or whatever. But because I know the 17 intelligence agencies, including Defense Intelligence and the Army, told Trump not to do this 5 days before. That's confirmed. He still did it. And so you know it was that, you know the head of the Army was on there. And you know they're trying to get, 7,000 Army troops in it up. We'll send another 10. They're like, sir, we need hundreds of thousands. We already knew they told him that. And I'm sure Trump got angry and said, I don't like you telling me not to do this. Fire him, Hegseth. You know Hegseth doesn't do anything unless Trump tells him. So let's logic this out. People ask how I know this stuff, how everything I say keeps coming true. I got 1,000 data points times 1,000, but let's just, you're smart too. Come on. Trump is actually the president right now, but if you can influence him, you get him to do bad things. He even said yesterday, you know, I have evil people can manipulate me, and God, you're evil. He says, he's like, you know, you're evil as shit, but Levin, you suck my weenie. Sorry, he didn't really say it. You know what I mean? Metaphysically, sorry. But get the clip. Clip 31 yesterday. It doesn't sound real. And I'm on the show saying, Trump is influenced by evil people. He can be manipulated. They go, boss, you didn't look at your full list. I didn't even see the clip. They go, he says that. And I said, who's he saying it to? And they go, we think it's Levin, which it was Levin later we learned. And it's just like Twilight Zone music is cued in my head. I love people who are nice to me, even if they're bad people. I'll do anything for them. Like, it's like he's one of our airmen shot down in Vietnam. And remember the famous Morse code? Where they're like, torture, torture, torture. It was Royce White said a few weeks ago, he said, Trump, you know, blink 3 times if you're being held hostage. And I'm not trying to even give Trump an out on this. But it's just so bizarre. So Hegseth forces out top Army general and 2 other senior officers. Wow. Hegseth has fired multiple senior military officials, most notably General Randy George, U.S. Army Chief of Staff, yesterday. The Pentagon confirmed George's immediate retirement, marking a rare removal of a top military leader during an ongoing conflict. Yeah. You normally just actually remove him from actual command, but don't announce it. Other key figures include General David Hoden, Major General Michael Green, Admiral Lisa Franchetti, General Charles Q. Brown, Lieutenant General Jeffrey Cruz. Okay. So, what did I say 30 days ago? I said they're going to try to invade. They'll probably try to take this Kursk Island first. That's obvious. And I went and looked at assessments of previous administrations, including his previous one. 200,000-300,000 troops. Because, see, you can't just take that one island. You got to take all the mountains and hills up above it on the coastline and the other little islands right next to it. And I explained this weeks ago. I said they've got in-close missiles, anti-aircraft missiles, anti-ship, anti-tank, and they've got all this artillery they can just roll out, honeycombed everywhere, and they'll be able to keep the strait closed as much as they want. And it's such a huge geographic area, you'll need hundreds of thousands of troops. Trump came out a few days ago and was like, well, they can even close it with a gun or their missiles or their bazookas. Yeah, whatever. I said that because that's military doctrine, and I guarantee you the Pentagon has told him exactly that. And I bet you money the head of the Army was in there in the last few days. Look it up. I bet he was in the White House, guaranteed, and said, sir, here's the facts. So you know. What was the last headline you put up? Put that back up. Iran rejects all U.S. demands and refuses to meet with American officials in Islamabad. Wall Street Journal. There you go. And so Trump wonders why oil explodes and the markets go crazy. Because you keep telling people they've made a deal. It's over. We've had regime change. He said again yesterday, the regime has changed. What, you got other people more radical? I guess it has changed. It's actually true. Depends on how you look at it. But he means like it's good. He says they're willing to negotiate now. No, they're not. But don't worry, Lindsey Graham, who on his free time stalks children at Disney World with a 2-foot pink princess wand in his hand, and Howard Lutnick that hangs out at Epstein's Island and lives next door to him and lies about it, they admit, and this is exactly what I heard from sources, but I saw on another show, Joe Kent just yesterday said, no, basically all the military advisors, except the head of CENTCOM and Hegseth, tell him don't do this, but he listens literally to Howard Lutnick. Howard Lutnick, I bet you, does not know how to load a 9mm. He sure as hell doesn't know how to clean it. And I guarantee he can't shoot bullseye with the entire magazine like I can. And I'm not even a special forces person or a veteran. He don't know how to skin a buck around a trot line. I bet he's never been punched in the nose.
I've been an oil field for as long as I've been an info warrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or something for like $40. We'll be right back. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. It doesn't work? Tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So, we're selling 3 emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and 2 others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get 1 or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexshowstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at thealexshowstore.com for 50% off.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. Defending the Republic from enemies, foreign and domestic, it's Alex Jones.
Our love is unconditional. We knew it from the start. I see it in your eyes, you can feel it from my heart. From here on after, let's take stay the way we are right now and share all the love and laughter that a lifetime will allow. I cross my heart and promise to
and viewers who I respect and I appreciate to know you got a 100% commitment from me to tell you exactly what I think the truth is and nothing else. But I don't do it for you. I do it for God. When I tell the truth in my soul, I feel warm and good and close to God. When I even war game sometimes, is it best not to say this for the greater good? In just as it means, I feel the Holy Spirit start pulling away a little bit. And I'm like, ooh, no, just do what's right. That's the most sophisticated thing. Don't think about what it's going to do. Doing the right thing is always the right thing. May not be at the moment, may be painful, but in the end, it's the right thing to do, and things turn out better if you do. Now, I have not done a good job today. I've done a good job covering the news. I'm about to hit the real stuff here, the hardcore stuff. But plugging. If I plug once an hour, do a good plug, we have money to run the operation. I get obsessed with the news. Most other talk radio, they plug every segment because people really don't listen to the ads. They listen to the segment. And it's this ad, that, fine, whatever. We don't do that. But when I tell you I need your support, I need it. I told you the receiver's not letting us pay the bills. The Texas state receiver that came in because they couldn't get the feds to shut us down because they got caught in all the corruption. And so the company's cell phones just got cut off, the ones we shoot reports with. The ones the crew works with, we've only got like 7 or 8 of them, they're turned off. Bill wasn't paid today. They were turned off last night. So they're flipping stuff off. The rent's not being paid, the money's there. The internet's not being paid. And I'm just going to ride this horse till it dies because I don't give up. But the Alex Jones Network's ready. The AlexJonesShow.com is also the sponsor of that. And the system, we need your support now. And it could be your last chance because, you know, the InfoWar belongs to the people, but InfoWars.com, the logo, all that. We're going to fight it, but probably maybe even sell the shirts and stuff that have that on it. We have a new name. All the stuff will announce soon. Could be your last chance to get classic InfoWar shirts. We come out with a 1776 InfoWars classic limited edition line. All the classic designs, a bunch of new designs with 1776 on the right shoulder. That's there. We have America Supply Coach, an idea I have, and kind of hunting dogs and guns and George Washington, and that's a line of stuff I design. People like that. I just, whatever I like, I think you're going to like it. You know, I'm always right. Like, I had that Gulf of America shirt. It's just a classic girl in a bikini silhouette with a palm tree. Gulf of America, it's still the bestseller. We also launched another line they had the idea for, which is popular, 250-year anniversary of America. It's all there at thealexjonesstore.com. And J.P. Sears, who is an aficionado built like Schwarzenegger, on TV, he looks big, but in person, it's like, damn, this guy's big. He's got legs the size of an NFL linebacker. And, you know, runs, marathons, everything else, power lifts, everything. And he came in here. He's been here many times. He goes, man, I feel like crap. I've been sick, but I still came in. I don't have a fever. But, and I'm like, oh, no, it's the allergy stuff in the air. Believe me, the whole crew feels it. And he said, all right, well, I was going to do 2 hours, but I'll probably try to do it. And I said, hey, take a little of this. If you have methylene blood, he goes, yeah, I've had it before. It doesn't really do anything to me. And I said, take mine. And Sears isn't a BS, or he's going to just, you know, BS and agree. About an hour in, he goes, man, I feel like a fog lifted. I feel good. When he left, he said, give me some bottles of that. I told him to give him some, but the next hour came up, or I don't know if he got them. I hope he did. But every person I've given it to, Roseanne Barr came in here, been here many times. This time she's like, I'm sick. I almost canceled. She goes, I'm dizzy. You know, I said, take this. She was bouncing off the walls an hour later. Okay. This stuff is amazing. Medical grade, somehow Bigley got the best. I told him get the best. And everything that gets the best, but I guess the best of methylene blue. This company out of Florida didn't even have it for supplementation. They make it for, instead of doing radioactive iodine, they put people's arteries for like CAT scans for surgeries for heart and the brain. They more and more use methylene blue. and the most pure type. And we're like, yeah, the group we got is a medical thing, and we're paying a little bit more, but it's the best. And I was like, okay. I'd had methylene blue before, didn't really feel much. I took it and thought I was going crazy 15 minutes later. Okay, it's the first time you take it is when you really look out. I'd take a tenth of a dose the first time. We had one crew member say, I can't take it, he thought he was going crazy. So, because it just unlooses your mitochondria, it turns on your electrochemical systems. So here's a short clip of what happened to J.P. Sears early in the week when he was here. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with Liver King. You say you've taken methylene blue before. I want you to take our medical grade. It takes 30 minutes to kick in. I've given this to 500 people. Only 3 people didn't feel it right away. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, when I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
Cheers.
It looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
Personally, I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. I was telling you, had a little bit of a cold for the past few days, under-rested. It felt like my brain was working at 50% capacity, just felt slow. And now, what's it been, a half hour or so, it feels like I'm back up to 80%. So, yeah, that's my experience. Feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them.
You and be honest, I know you will be, because we're always trying to find a better methylene blue. If you got one that's better, you said you've taken it before. Did you feel the same thing with the other methylene blue?
No, with other ones I've tried, I didn't have a perceptible difference. Yeah, didn't notice anything.
Well, I got to tell you. I like it. Bigly, I said, go find me the best. They said, this place doesn't sell it to people. They sell it for medical dyes for arteries instead of like iodine, radioactive iodine. They use this for tracking blood clots or something. And I said, okay, great. So you got to deal with them? I said, well, let me get it. And I'd taken a bunch of different brands before. It didn't really do much. I was like, brrr, when I did it. And I was like, so they hit a home run with this. So you're saying you've taken, we didn't talk about this beforehand. We just asked you. You've taken others before, though, did not feel like this.
Yeah, that's true. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I like it. I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it.
Yeah, my understanding, you mentioned this, methylene blues, they're not all created equal. Some, I believe, are like a fish aquarium grade.
Yeah.
But they sell it to humans. So what you found, I'm stoked to really.
Look, I love Bigly. Their rule is go out and get the best. Most of our products are private label. It's already top rated. So I said, get the best methylene blue. So I think we've got the best. J.P. Sears didn't even know this backstory that you all know. You just saw what just happened to him. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexShowStore.com.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
So I'm going to tell listeners, the millions of you that are on the fence, why would I sell you something that doesn't work? Whatever the best is, I sell it. Whatever I love, I sell it. Whatever I'm selling you, I'm using it. This stuff is incredible. I would have sold it before, but I didn't get the effect. This does it. So great job for Bigly. Get yours now, thealexandstore.com. All right. So again, back to this. The Iran war. No one can deny that Trump is flip-flopping multiple times daily. It's not 3D chess. He was lied into the war. He looks at Mark Levin and says, yeah, I listen to evil people I shouldn't listen to. He admits Mark Levin is the final guy to convince him to do it. Tucker stopped going to full war in June of last year. I talked to people that were in the room, and I asked Tucker, and he said, well, I'm not going to get into sources, but yeah. How do you think I knew that Joe Kent and Tulsi Gabbard and Vice President Vance and all of them were in the room with Trump 6 days after Charlie got killed with Cash Patel, the soon-to-be-gone FBI director, and that Patel yelled at them all and said, you're not allowed to investigate foreign involvement? I talked to one person in the room, found out who else was in the room, it was like 20 people, called the other person I knew, and they confirmed it. And I'm going to just stop right there. Trump was told, sir, it's about to fall. If you go in, it's going to fall. He goes, but I'm told by the chairman that's not going to happen probably. Oh, they're just overly, you know, cautious. Sir, you're so bold. You know, you saw what happened in Venezuela. You can do this. And so Trump keeps saying, it's over. We've won. The strait's going to be open. Blah, 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 blah. I'm going to obliterate you to the Stone Age if you don't submit. And the Iranians are like, F you. We're here in a new quagmire. I know all of you know that. 80+% of Americans against ground troops. Call the White House. Call Congress. Call C-SPAN. Get a buzz going. We have to say no to this. Yeah, we've got one independent with Susie Wiles. Print that for me. Coming out. And I was told she was against it. In fact, I was told, again, I told you this back in December. November. By people very close saying, hey, quit bashing Wiles. You know, she's not perfect, but she's screaming at Pam Bondi about election fraud investigations and indictments. She's screaming at them about, and I was told also, she was like, hey, you don't, probably listen to the Pentagon about this. So I'm not in their fan club or something. I just tell you people that I know that are in the meetings. So, I mean, very few people told Trump to do this, except the final thing, and when I do this, the Jew haters are just so, there's plenty of reasons to be mad at Israel, and we criticize them, but don't be retarded where everything has to be them. Like when I had Jimmy Dore on a few weeks ago, and I go, you're like, well, why did Trump do this? And I went, well, Israel's the main lobby, and they want it, and the Defense Department, you know, the defense contractors want it, and, you know, and the globalist above that want it. Larry Fink wants it because it'll bankrupt the recovery, which is, he's on record wanting it. But I said the last straw was the crown prince that Trump really likes, who's arch enemies with Iran, saying, please do it. Well, it came out later that that's indeed that, but I was told that by sources. They go, oh, my God, don't blame Saudi. It's the Israelis. I was telling you the coalition that wanted it. It doesn't get Israel off the hook that Saudi Arabia also wanted this. I'm just telling you the reality. Good God. So it's like when it came out that LBJ engineered the attack on Liberty with Israel, all the Nazis got mad because they said, no, it's all Israel. Oh, has Israel ordered the Navy to stand down and not defend the ship? Shut up. Stop being mentally ill. So I just cover the facts here. And we know because I interviewed the judge advocate general over the secret hearings on it and the son of the admiral that got the phone call from LBJ saying, I want that GD ship on the bottom. And it's a congressional report. They ordered the jets back twice to not save the ship, but it survived. Interviewed the first mate, everybody. The son of a captain, all of them. Nobody's interviewed more than me because most of them are dead. You can't interview them now. Look at Jones covering up for Israel saying LBJ was involved. Of course he was involved. He set it up with them to blame it on Egypt and the Russians to go to full war, just like Gulf of Tonkin got us officially into Vietnam, 64. Do you know about that? So that's where we are, ladies and gentlemen. Now let's go to some of these clips. You know, I don't like agreeing with Macron, but Macron's being a realist about this. And he's like, because France is who first got kicked out of Vietnam. We went there to save their ass in Indochina. That's what it was called for, Vietnam and Ho Chi Minh. He says, I don't believe that we will fix the situation in Iran just by bombing or by military. Look at what happened in this type of operation in Iraq, Afghanistan, Libya, Vietnam. The list goes on and on. And Libya and Iran and Afghanistan are cakewalks compared to Iran. 90 million people, three times the size of Iraq, dug in for decades. Not vertically integrated, but parallel construction. Built for you kill one, the next group rolls over. And Israel knew, and they admit Israel advised Trump to kill the mullah, saying it'd make him give up. A first-year political science student that just read a few articles about this would know, killing their religious leader is not going to make them give up. It's going to make them, just going up to a beehive, hitting it with a baseball bat, make the bees be nice. I'm just question here. Here's the question. If Iran killed Trump and bragged they killed Trump, or if Iran blew up a elementary school with 1,000 kids in it and bragged about it, would we give up or would we say nuke Iran? We say, we're just like thugs. People are people. Okay? So, you know the answer. Give up or we'll kill more mullahs. And we kill the next one. They're like, let's go. Once you get somebody in that mindset, they don't back down. Which is what the Pentagon told Trump. But Mark Levin and them want to make it about Tucker Carlson and Joe Kent and Alex Jones and Nick Fuentes. Like, it's just us saying it. Oh, it's these Nazis over here who aren't Nazis. Well, I guess... Now, even Fuentes admits that he's been tongue-in-cheek that Hitler was a big loser and out of his mind and a bunch of other stuff. The point is, just edgelording on that, no, not Nazis. But the point is, certainly Joe Kent is no Nick Fuentes. And so you give the president a real assessment on the radio and TV or in person, you're a traitor when all we're doing is telling the truth. So here's Macron.
Iran is a very bad regime. No discussion about that. I disagree with them on a lot of topics. But I don't believe that we will fix the situation just by bombings or by military operations. Look at what happened with this type of operation in Iraq, in Afghanistan, in Libya. We never delivered. Never. Even after 20 years. So you have to respect the sovereignty of people. If people want to change a regime, they want to react, step up, they can do so.
And then you've got Tucker pointing out this is the end of the American empire. We had to fix things, bring back jobs, restabilize, soft power to save ourselves, not go bankrupt. This is now triggering the increased interest rates, the bankruptcy, which is the globalist, and Larry Fink is happy as a pig, and you know what? He's grabbed victory from jaws of defeat, he thinks, and looks like Trump's pig-headed, so it's done. And that's what empires do when they overextend. It doesn't kill you right away, but it makes you go bankrupt, like World War I. The British finance ministers, the British started that with assassinations of Franz Ferdinand, the Austro-Hungarian king, the Archduke. They said, this will overextend us. We predict the war will last 4 to 5 years. We'll win, but we'll go bankrupt because of it. It happened. So this is known. I can go for hours into this. I've had economists on about it. But let's just say it's a serious roll of the dice. And you see it's rolling the way I said it would. But I'm a Nazi coup leader, so, you know. Yeah, I want power in the government. Yeah, I'm hanging around Mar-a-Lago in D.C. No, I'm up on my hermit man in the wilderness base trying to get people not destroy themselves, me along with them. So here's Tucker Carlson about the end of the empire.
What's happening in Iran is the end of American empire as we understand it. And that's sad. Boo-hoo. Empire's dying. But it's not the end of the United States. It's not the end of our influence on other nations, hopefully positive influence. It's not the end of our economy. It's the beginning of a very rough time in our economy, of course. But it's hardly the end of it.
And it's a fact. I don't just say MSNBC is telling the truth. That's why I hate the position where they can actually tell the truth now and be the good guys and Trump's the bad guy. But Iran did come and say, fine, we'll give up all our uranium and send it to Russia. Nope. Israel bombs you. Now, Trump actually took the deal, so Israel hit first, which is the scandal of scandals. So here's David Rode talking about this on MSNBC.
Iran offered to give away all of its enriched uranium during the peace talks. And hours later, the U.S. started dropping bombs. And The Guardian broke yesterday that there were British officials, the British National Security Advisor was present in Geneva during that last round of talks. The British were surprised by the Iranian offer. They thought it was credible. They thought the talks should continue. And the British were shocked when the Trump administration started bombing Iran hours later.
Now, notice what MSNBC did there. They know not to bash Israel. Israel attacked the day before, 12 hours to drag us in. Because Trump was going to hit on Saturday, decided not to, so they hit Friday to get us in. Don't forget, though, Trump saying, I don't want to hear about Medicare, Medicaid. We got a war economy now. And his new budget cuts it, which he promised not to do, which is political suicide in the midterms. And that is like a third rail known thing. Trump just lost the midterms. He'll probably lose the Senate. And you can't get your AGs. He fires Bondi, they now say, because she wouldn't prosecute anybody that persecuted him. Todd Blanche, buddy, is the one running it that killed it all. But you don't talk to Ed Martin anymore, so you don't know. He's literally got worm tongue right up, sitting on his lap. And I'm supposed to just say, oh, God, 10D chest, do whatever Trump says. Oh, I'm not a Nazi sympathizer. I support Mark Levin. Yes, sir, Mark Levin, whatever you say, sir. Yes, sir, yes, sir, yes, sir. Just drive us off a cliff, you dumbass. With every former Israeli intelligence chief saying this will destroy Israel in the end. You lunatics. But Netanyahu has a normalcy bias for 25 years of victory. So now he bellies up to the bar to take on Godzilla. And Godzilla is the economic crises that comes out of this. And the domestic crisis of Israel openly running our government. It's not just the Iranians, Dumbo. Have you seen how unpopular Trump is now because of you? Have you seen how unpopular Israel is? Have you seen what you've bitten off, what you've summoned? People go, great, well, finally, I don't want to get Israel. Walk through those scenarios, all you that want to destroy Israel, dumbasses. You're just as dumb as Levin. Stop it! Stop it! Forget which clip next. I gave you guys a bunch of clips. Your mic's not on. I barely heard you. Oh, yeah, 23, Trump. Yeah, forget your Medicare and Medicaid. Forget, you know, when you have a heart attack and forget your medication. You got a war here, pal. Here it is.
Because the United States can't take care of daycare. That has to be up to a state. We can't take care of daycare. We're a big country. We have 50 states. We have all these other people. We're fighting wars. We can't take care of daycare. You got to let a state take care of daycare, and they should pay for it, too. They should pay. They have to raise their taxes, but they should pay for it. And we could lower our taxes a little bit to them to make up. But it's not possible for us to take care of daycare. Medicaid, Medicare, all these individual things. They can do it on a state basis. You can't do it on a federal. We have to take care of one thing, military protection.
Oh, military protection. Go start a war and then tell everybody you go fix the Strait of Hormuz when Israel started it. And act like it's everybody else's problem. And yeah, these entitlements are impossible, designed to bankrupt us. You got to phase them out like you said you would do and replace it. But now you give the enemy, and they're going to run that ad everywhere. They already are. Oh, thank you, Trump. More 3D chess, right? Uh-huh, sure. I'm going to go to break, and let's look at Jared Kushner, because he is an Israeli operative. The Pentagon and the CIA believe he is an Israeli agent. Gee, you think so? I go to a pet shop and see a parrot, macaw, sitting there in the cage, with, you know, red, blue, and green feathers. I don't need to know. Is that a parrot? Yeah, it's a damn parrot. Bunch of crazy people. And then Dark Journalist is coming on with the biggest news ever. Imminent alien disclosure. What's really happening? It's all coming up. Hour number three.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plant. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive. The two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And Ultra Methylene Blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add Ultra Methylene Blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available. DallasTheStore.com, the very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade Ultra Methylene Blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar. But more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you gotta do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasTheStore.com to get T3 now available and Methylene Blue at DallasTheStore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Of the decade, floating hospitals, hovercraft, and drone lasers, Trump force ready to land in Iran, and what regime has in store for them. That's coming up. The final countdown to cuckoo land. And any of us that agree with the Pentagon, this is insane. We are the traitors. But coming up, Congressman Burchett says he's been given briefings on alien activity on the planet that would horrify any American. It should all be released. We're talking to the expert on this and so much more. Daniel List coming up next segment. So you don't want to miss this information coming up. You want to share the live feeds from X Real Alex Jones and on Rumble at the Alex Jones Show as well. This is so important. But Kushner, who owns the 666 Fifth Avenue and all the rest of it, and his dad, a known Israeli operative, is the main guy behind so much of this, even bigger than Mark Levin. Kushner doesn't talk a lot, but Mark Levin's the spokesperson, but the guy writing the scripts, Netanyahu, but his big buddy is Trump's son-in-law that is also on the Saudi payroll, as we've pointed out. And you got Saudi Arabia and Israel heavily tied at the hip doing all this. And they believe in a greater Middle East, this great deal they're going to have, and talking to all this peace and stuff. They just take out Iran, except the military assessments were 92% Pentagon that regime change wouldn't happen. They closed the strait. It would create a disaster and chain reaction. Didn't mean the Pentagon loved the mullahs. Doesn't mean I do. It means it wouldn't work. But up above that, the globalists like it because it'll kill the recovery, put us into debt. The Great Reset can launch again. That's why Larry Fink is so happy. So here's a breakdown, an excellent breakdown, it's all accurate, on Jared Kushner. Here it is.
What people call conflicts of interest, Steve and I call experience and trusted relationships.
In 1 month, the U.S. dropped more than 5,000 bombs on Iran and billed the American taxpayer over $30 billion to do it. And one name keeps coming up as responsible, Jared Kushner. But to understand how, you need to know about two key relationships. The first goes back to when Kushner was a teenager. Buried in a 2017 New York Times article is a detail that's stayed under the radar. When Benjamin Netanyahu used to stay in the United States, he would stay at the Kushner family home in New Jersey. Most diplomats meet foreign leaders at negotiating tables. Jared Kushner met Benjamin Netanyahu when Netanyahu was sleeping in his bed, forcing Jared to sleep in the basement. The second relationship is with Saudi Crown Prince Mohammed bin Salman, MBS. And to understand that one, you need to know what happened the moment Kushner left Trump's first White House. He started a private equity firm called Affinity Partners to capitalize on his Middle East connections, despite having no experience in asset management whatsoever. offer. So he went to the Saudi State Public Investment Fund and asked for money. And so the Saudi government, Kushner had spent 4 years protecting, wired him $2 billion. Kushner took that $2 billion in Saudi money to become the largest shareholder in Phoenix Holdings, Israel's biggest insurance company. Israel and Saudi Arabia used to be historic rivals. And yet Kushner, leveraging those Netanyahu and MBS relationships, said he wanted to open a, quote, investment corridor between Saudi Arabia and Israel. He is the corridor. Saudi money flowing through Kushner into the Israeli economy is the financial infrastructure of a new Middle East, recentered around Gulf Israeli ties. And every dollar that flows through it builds a region that doesn't want Iran at the table. Netanyahu actually said it out loud.
Saudi Arabia will have a lot to gain. I think all these countries around Iran are threatened by Iran. And I think peace between Israel and Saudi Arabia would be really possible and probably very close once this thing happens.
And then came the Iran negotiations this past February. Diplomats from Britain and Oman said a deal was close and that war could be avoided. But Kushner told Trump there was no chance of a deal and that Iran was about to attack the United States. The Pentagon briefed congressional staff the exact opposite, that Iran had no plans to strike the U.S. The Guardian reported that a diplomat with direct knowledge of the talks said Kushner was regarded as an Israeli asset, trying to drag the U.S. into war. An Israeli asset who had Netanyahu sleeping in his childhood bedroom. Kushner's ideology was there long before the money was. What the money did was align financial interests perfectly with ideology.
I've been an OFO for as long as I've been an InfoWarrior, 18 years. And Texan, born and raised, so I know, like, knives, like you do. And I finally broke down and ordered one. I got the neon orange, and I'm blown away. I've had Benchmark knives that are easily $400. Had them for a year, lost them. This thing has the same feel, same quality, same, I mean, everything about it. I haven't had a knife stay this sharp in a long time, and I'm, like, horrible with equipment. I'm, like, very abusive with knives at work every day. I'm extremely impressed. I'm very impressed. So anybody out there listening, who knows there's a knife comes back in stock, get one. You know, any of them. I want to get the ring knife when it comes back out. Other than that, I'll join all the supplements and,
Yeah, particularly the pocket knives, the folding knives, the flip knives are super high quality at incredibly low prices. I mean, these same knives sell in stores all day for like $80 or selling for like $40. We'll be right back.
Big Brother. Mainstream media. Government cover-ups. You want to stop tyranny? Well, so does he. Live from the InfoWars.com studios, it's Alex Jones.
All right, we're about to do a deep dive in the next hour and a half or so. Then I have some other news I'm going to hit after Daniel List, top real alien UFO researcher from Wall Street Journal writer, leaves us. But I want to just explain something. We're in the fourth turning. Sociologists, anthropologists, futurists know it. They predicted it 50 years ago. It's here. There's all this acceleration of technology and knowledge. 9 billion people. All these hidden technologies. A lot of disinformation trying to distract people away from what's real and what's not. And so the old global order is falling apart. Into that, Trump was coming in with a better system, we thought. Now he's gone sideways. That doesn't mean we're the Democrats or the left who openly are anti-human and want depopulation. Trump openly does want prosperity and a pro-human future and has acted like he wants disclosure. And I, from the experts I've talked to, they think he leans towards that. But there's definite changes in Trump. Is he compromised? Is it dementia? He doesn't sound as smart as he used to. We'll get Daniel List on that. But I wanted to talk about the increasing statements out of members of Congress, like Burchett saying, what I was briefed with 2 weeks ago would terrify all Americans, it should all be released. And then now these red orbs chasing aircraft around and things, and new footage out of Italy of these incredible, just like we saw when the Indonesian plane went up missing, you know, one big orb and a bunch around it. And they're checking these videos. They're not AI. So there's major increases in activity. NASA has come out and said, double the amount of asteroids and weird things coming in than we ever see. I think it's way more than double. All these fireballs, looks like satellites being destroyed Also, you know, we know they've got interdimensional control or dimensional tractor beams, which Liz predicted would happen. They would start dragging them out of the atmosphere to then capture these things. The point is that we think we're in the year 2026. We're really in the year 2100. The future's here. It's just not equally distributed. You can debate whether PKD, that first launched the idea in modern history, was right. He did get raided by the FBI and others, so they were concerned about overlapping realities and, like, updates to the Matrix. But regardless, we definitely have massive manipulations going on and a breakaway civilization or civilizations. What does that mean? But I wanted to air this short report by John Bound, because above Israel, and by the way, I have a Tucker clip I didn't get to, but you know, he's reading the Epstein files. He says, actually, Israel's not as powerful as I thought reading this. Israel's just a control system of the U.S. It's this international banking cartel. Yeah. So whenever I explain it's not just Israel, Israel's just one node of this system. And if you just focus on that, you get blinded to the larger issues. I was talking to Dave Smith about that, so we have that clip coming up as well. I think I had it yesterday, but I'm going to play that today. So this is a big deal. But to set the table here, the mega banks want austerity. They want us to be poor. They want collapse, because that then kills the general public, even having energy or time to look into things or to have upper mobility. It's a cutting off of resources is a way to stunt human development. So not just the breakaway civilization being way more advanced than us with all their corporate government reservations that are advanced, but also putting us into a Hunger Games situation where we're totally poor, living subsistence, which is the UN plan from the 60s, Club of Rome, to bring us back to an agrarian society, no electricity, a depopulated planet with compact, high-tech city-states that are high-tech with, like, godlike technologies compared to the unwashed, and then a national park of the general public out here living in loincloths. So you see that in Hunger Games and Zardoz in the 70s, and over again, you ask, what is this? They're telling you their weird plan. Elysium, where they're off in a space station with live extension, we're down here starving. This is what they've come up with, and it all integrates together. So here's John Bowen's report. We'll go to Daniel List.
Fertilizer pharma shock is a compounding crisis that ties energy choke points directly to crop yields and medicine supplies in a chain reaction Washington refuses to acknowledge.
And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal.
Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz has halted roughly one-third of global seaborne fertilizer trade and nearly half the world's urea, the critical nitrogen source for crop growth.
The U.S. is a net exporter of fertilizer, but we have big fertilizer problems in the United States, because remember, even if you're exporting it, and the price has gone up. So if you're from Iowa, where I'm from, you're paying a lot more for fertilizer this planting season, assuming you didn't buy it ahead of time, which, by the way, most of the farmers didn't. They've been in a little bit of a tight squeeze. Often they buy input, seed and fertilizer, prior to a year in advance of planting. Well, this year they didn't. So they're buying it basically not forward, but buying it on the spot market.
Urea prices from the Middle East have surged from under $500 per metric ton to around $700 or higher, with overall fertilizer costs up more than 50% year over year. Spring wheat planting could hit the lowest level since 1970.
Setting the table on farmers is they were in bad shape prior to the war financially. They were getting squeezed. So as a result, they didn't do what they often do, and that's buy their inputs forward. Buy them a year in advance.
Oh, wow. So they did that. They did that even before the crisis we're facing right now.
Yes.
Russia has suspended ammonium nitrate exports. China has restricted key blends to protect domestic prices. And India faces gas shortages threatening its urea output. With 318 million people already in acute hunger, analysts warn another 45 million could slide into crisis if disruptions last beyond June. Layer on the pharmaceutical strike, Iranian missiles hit Israel's Neot Hovav industrial zone, home to Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest generic drug maker, and Adama Chemical Facilities. Teva supplies affordable generics for cancer, heart, respiratory, and neurological treatments relied on by hospitals worldwide, especially in third world nations. Pre-existing shortages were already severe. Prices will rise, access will tighten, and chronic patients could face rationing or expensive switches in the months ahead. Iran's closure stranded Qatar's North Field output 33% of global helium. That also left 200 cryogenic helium containers at risk of total boil-off within weeks. No helium means no chips for AI GPUs or data centers, while India's 70,000 MRI machines and semiconductor memory supplies face immediate pressure. Jet fuel has at least doubled in the U.S., with airlines warning of dry inventories, cancellations, and rerouting, while diesel tightness grips Australia and South Korea, prompting wartime economic measures.
Chanju, what is the South Korean government doing to address all of these problems?
They've launched a full-scale emergency economic response involving the offices of the president, the prime minister, and more. They're also looking to pass a war supplementary budget, and they're urging the public to conserve energy.
The just-in-time global system that was built on cheap energy, fragile choke points, and the illusion of endless efficiency has had its table flipped over. Stock what you reasonably can, demand real domestic resilience over globalist fantasies, and build tolerance for uncomfortable truths that are imminent. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
Now let me say this again to our guest who's been patient the last 10 minutes waiting for me. Nothing is more mathematical than these equations and the economy and the algorithms and the business cycles. So if you have 67% of Americans, that's almost 70 now, but yeah, it's climbed like 69 last week I saw, living hand-to-mouth, paycheck to paycheck, deep in debt. That's worse than the Depression. But because output's been higher and we've had more food production, people have been okay. And we know that when half of the money in any country, no matter Asian, white, African, anything, hits energy and food, you start getting unrest. Hit 60%, you get revolution and war. Okay? Well, already most of the world's spending 55, 56% of their money on energy and food. Energy for machines, food, energy for humans. Larry Fink is so happy at BlackRock. He was in so much trouble. He wanted the Great Reset. He wanted COVID to lock things down. He wants to make us poor, to control us, bring in their new global cash society. He's so happy now, saying, regardless, Strait of Hormuz just reopened, energy goes up, we're done, it's over, recovery, global depression. Recovery's not happening. That was Trump's big plan. So Trump thought one-dimensionally, was lied to into this war, and you just heard, just like 69% of people hand-to-mouth in the U.S. alone, it's worse than other countries, believe it or not, that, oh, the majority of farmers didn't buy their fertilizer and seeds out to next year, which they do that because they can buy it early and get a better price. That's how maxed out they are. And remember, we have a lot of our own fertilizer. In the rest of the world, it's even worse. Most of the deliveries didn't happen around the world. Not just Strait of Hormuz, 30% of fertilizer, 21% out of Ukraine. That's been cut off for years. Now you see, so they want to squeeze us. They want control. Into that comes frantic messages. Let's get the clip and go to our guest of Congressman Burchett, Tim Burchett, very respected, great voting record, saying he was briefed on stuff that would absolutely horrify the American people 2 weeks ago. The problem was, Daniel Liston said, and I've confirmed this, is for about 6-7 years, they were doing it before, but they flooded the zone with all these former intelligence people with ridiculous stories, ridiculous disinfo, ridiculous crap to send people on wild goose chases while Trump tries, as he says, release the real UFO file. So they throw up layer after layer of lie, and we have the real expert on that, Daniel List. We'll also look at the new moon mission, what's really happening there, and so much more. But here's that clip of the congressman.
I don't have the tinfoil hat on just yet, Congressman, but I'm wondering, you know, kind of how you react to that, because you are connected, you're on the UFO subcommittee. I mean, I'm just wondering what you make of that. Have you heard anything like that?
Well, I'm still a member of Congress, so I can't really comment too much on what Matt said. But I will say this.
Wait, seriously? Are you being serious or Is that talking to you?
I've been 100% serious. Okay. I've been 100% serious. I've been briefed by just about every alphabet agency there is. And I'll just tell you this. If they would release the things that I've seen, you would stay up. You'd be up at night worrying about or thinking about this stuff. We just need to disclose it all. I'm sick of it. I was briefed. I'll just tell you this. I was briefed last week on an issue, or excuse me, 2 weeks ago. And, it would have set the earth off. This country would have come unglued, I think, if they would have heard all that I heard. They would demand answers. And we need to. But, you know, it's never going to get, unfortunately, it just keeps getting covered up and covered up, and the people that know are dying or disappearing, as the case may be.
Wow.
And for the record, I'm not suicidal, and I don't take risks.
All right, let's stop there.
I'm glad you said
that. He's going to say, we got to get to Trump, Well, that's the problem. So you got to be like a kid in a candy store here, but also very frustrated on this, Daniel List. Thanks for holding while that big buildup. What a moment to be alive. It's all coming to a head. What is it they're being briefed on? Is it real? Trump said he would bring it out in July. Now he says earlier. Obama tried to jump the gun. The big stuff's coming. I can feel we're on the cusp of something, Daniel.
There's no question about it. It's great to see you, Alex. What we're seeing here is the entire establishment becoming unglued because the UFO file is coming to a head one way or another. There's a forced process going on. And what we see deep inside the battle in the background is the group X-Protect, which is usually incredibly cautious, you know, when they destroy people's reputations or take out their opponents who are revealing these things. They usually do it in very small, subtle ways. So the first kind of, you know, the gun going off in this case was that the X-Protect group was eliminating the scientists in such an orderly fashion and getting rid of the team that they didn't want in there who had certain types of knowledge. And that list has now grown conservatively to 9. And we've been supplying, you know, a number of media outlets with information about the various missing scientists and missing generals. But with the core figure of McCaslin, I think one of the things that we can say is that they're going directly to the ex-share group versus the ex-protect group. And that's why you're seeing that expression on Congressman Burchett's face, because Burchett is literally coming out there and saying, you know, his headlines are getting bigger and bigger and bigger because the things that he's saying is letting out more and more. We think about a guy like Gates. It's very interesting because he had gone with Congresswoman Luna, and they had gone to these various bases looking for information about where craft were stored and everything. And they kept getting these little leaks out there. Oh, we know where a giant UFO is and all the rest. I can tell you for certain that the Congress people don't know anything about where they store these exotic craft, nor the nature of the exotic craft. Some of them, in some cases, are very old that they've discovered. Some of them come from crashes.
By the way, you warned of these wild goose chases years ago on the show and films you made. So obviously, these fake intel people come to them. They're flooding the zone. They run around on wild goose chases. It makes it a joke.
That is a program. And the program, the disinformation program, is called Yankee Blue, which is interesting because the actual program is called Blue. Yankee Blue is the disinformation program where you give the agents all of this information and pretend that you're giving them intel. And then they come out and they can say, oh, I saw this, I saw that. But it's literally...
And notice none of them get killed or put in prison to put out the disinfo.
Exactly. Well, the Wall Street Journal called it a hazing ritual. And this was a weird attempt to kind of put the genie back in the bottle, that all the stories that had been rolled out there, they started to realize it was all the spaghetti against a wall. So the disinformation agents were out there and they were coming directly. They were saying, oh, you know, that government needs to give us disclosure. I want to get us to the UFO file. But in fact, they were working for the government. One of the guys, famously, I tracked down, was working for 4 different agencies inside the government. And he was saying, oh, that government needs to give us, well, he's on the payroll, you know. And then it turned out later he came out with a book and dedicated it to James Clapper.
That's right. So if you're a real whistleblower, you disappear or get killed. You're parading around on Joe Rogan.
Yes, exactly. You're not going to get the kind of Lazar golden treatment. It's not going to happen. And when you think about a guy like that, you know, this has been going on for a long time. But if you even think back to the 90s, when you look at Area 51 and things that they were talking about there, they had already moved out the exotic craft from 51. That's why they could even expose it and put it on the chart. They wanted to. In fact, they wanted our enemies to think, oh, it's all there. But they were also whitewashing the general public. And there are very exotic locations in America, actually. One of them in Pennsylvania, quite famously. where that's kind of the real.
Yeah, exactly. So they use Area 51 as a red herring. It's really a toxic waste dump and has some earlier generation secret planes at it. We know that. So, where are the real sites? We should do a whole show on that sometime.
Yes. Oh, there's no question about it. We could do an entire geography. And I want to say something about how, in your show with the things you've done and what we've done on the UFO side, being ahead of the curve right now is so crucial because what's about to hit is so pre-planned. It has such planning behind it going back decades.
I should have started like that ahead, without my huge intro. Obviously, they're rolling it out. They say they are something big. There's a fight over whether it's going to be true or not or a mix. What is the big thing?
Right in the heart of it, they've been redeveloping in the background for 8 decades this exotic technology. Now, the sources, on the inside, they, originally thought this is an off-world source. Then some of them thought, well, maybe this is crypto-terrestrial. In fact, there was a researcher who thought there were these beings that were operating that were just blend in with society, were exactly like human beings, but they were just a little bit more technologically advanced, and he called them crypto-terrestrials. Well, it was an interesting book and an interesting intellectual exercise, except guess what? He ends up dying mysteriously at age 31. And they took out this researcher before he could get any further with that thesis, and everyone kind of dropped it.
Isn't that the Men in Black?
Yes, exactly. And it's very interesting because the author, Mac Tawney's, wrote about the Men in Black. So, you can't get more ironic than that. But the whole idea of the Men in Black, again, is something that has been, Hollywoodized, and yet there's a core to it. All the stories include follow-ups with people who had encounters with these beings, with these craft, and they were told, basically, shut up or spin it this way. And even in the earliest cases, Betty and Barney Hill, all these people showed up claiming to be from the Air Force. And then they would call the Air Force and say, Major so-and-so came here. And they said, we don't have a Major so-and-so. Who are you talking to? So they're adopting the persona. And I think what's particularly interesting, if you study the Men in Black cases, is the amount of supernatural activity that's associated with them, literally blinking out, et cetera. So some people thinking, am I losing my mind? This guy just disappeared in front of me. That's a very, very special kind of projection ability.
And, well, I told you some wild stories about a moon base, and they're going to launch the Mars mission from there. Elon Musk, of course, it came out was true. But I'll tell you a story that I haven't told. It was right before J6, like a month before we had a rally, 500,000 people march. The day before it or so, I'm walking down the street to go to a restaurant with my wife and crew. And I'm not somebody that ever really has fear since I've been an adult. And there's like a black SUV 50 yards ahead. And 3 or 4 people come out in like black trench coats. And I'm walking 50 yards, getting closer as they're talking. And I've never had palpable fear shoved me back. My wife wasn't paying attention. The security guys were like I revolted in fear. And I looked at these people as they got in the car. And they were like, I swear to God, this is true. Never told a story. Like, looked like professional basketball players, but they were like 7 feet tall. The biggest was like 7 feet. Others were like 6 foot something. And I looked, and they literally had like vampire ears, white skin, and the guy turned like a pig nose, and he had a classic hat on, whatever gangster hat, and they look and duck into the car, and I was like frozen. My wife's like, what's going on? I was like, that's a true story. Like, it literally hit me like fear, which I don't normally feel. Wow. I felt I was scared. That's a true story. So the only time I saw anything like Men in Black was in D.C., broad daylight. Swear to God, I saw it.
It's interesting how it's like a reality disruption also, the fear and the energy thing that you're talking about. You know who shares an experience like that similar to yours is Dan Aykroyd, of all people, being totally serious. And he's in New York, and he's just gotten a show with the Sci-Fi Channel, and he's doing these UFO shows. One of them is on the federal agencies pursuing UFO witnesses. And he goes down, and he's setting up some kind of Saturday Night Live thing, and he turns around on his phone, and he sees these kind of classic Men in Black with a 1940s car that looks exactly brand new. And Aykroyd recounts this story, and he's like, I was terrified. And he said, I looked away, and I looked back, and they were gone. And he said, I know celebrities say a lot of zany things, but this is wild. And in fact, he was becoming a very high-profile UFO file figure by, talking about the Hudson Valley
sighting. Well, I'll tell the story because it's always, it was so unreal that instantly I was shoved back and my body saying danger. And then I was looking at him and the guy just barely turns around and just gets in the car. And I was just like, and I also had this feeling of attacking him too. I was just like, my cells went, that is the enemy. Like I'm a seal that knows a great white shark's dangerous, Like, a seal never saw a great white, but it's a seal. It has an instinct to run from it. I was like, it was crazy, man. I read, like, they say there's like a loathsomeness just in their presence, right?
Yes, absolutely. And around what year was that, Alex?
2016. It was like right before they stole the election. We were having a big rally in D.C.
Wow. Incredible. There is a thing where deep in the programs, there's something which is an actual astral agency. And I'll get into this deep with you in the next segment, but they actually have trained agents to project themselves from an astral level. So they know how to astral project and they do the terrorizing from an astral body.
Well, I'm telling you, I have it frozen in my memory. I'm walking and I go, and I was like, what the hell? Is that Nosferatu? God, that guy's big. Who are those? They're wearing black. Wow. And they got fedoras on. And I'm just like, and all of a sudden, it was like he had a pig nose and like pointed ears. Swear to God, folks. I know you're the big health guy. You're way better shape than I am. Don't kick my ass. I've seen you working out with the Liver King. You say you've taken methylene before. I want you to take our medical grade. To take 30 minutes to kick in. So good for your body. I'd like you to drink this, Jay. You said earlier, what? I appreciate it. I want to get your true review. If it doesn't work, tell me. Here it is, brother.
He's yours.
Looks just like the stuff from Doom, the water of life. He's drinking the juice of a strangled, drowned sandworm right now. Baron Harkonnen is not happy. We're going to see what happens.
20 minutes later.
I feel like my brain is clearer and working faster. It feels like my brain and my energy have had the accelerator hit on them. I felt it in my brain and my energy.
Well,
I'm going to get me some before I leave.
We're going to give you a couple bottles of it, bro. We love it. It's amazing. Get yours now. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Now, coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors, and that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself as InfoWars.com, we've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller. Navy blue with red InfoWars on it and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. And they're symbols of your support and your being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines.
Harrison, I am so excited to talk to you. I want to plug that Irish Sea Moss was a big game changer for me. I was having a lot of like thermoregulation issues, like morning severe chills and cold in the morning. Hmm. All that stopped with the sea moss because it's a thyroid issue, and the sea moss has that iodine to heal your thyroid.
Isn't that amazing?
The methylene blue, yeah, the methylene blue, life changing. I love it. I don't need caffeine anymore. It's amazing, but I'm trying to be quick.
It's all right. Hey, when you're plugging, we got all the time in the world.
I love his supplement formula. I am an acupuncturist. I have a master's degree in Chinese medicine, and he's got some really good formulas put together, and they work really well. I really appreciate it. I stopped taking all of my other stuff that I was taking, and I just take a lot of you guys' stuff. I mean, because I love you and I want to support everything you guys are doing, but the formulas are good.
You can only find out for yourself what effects these things will have. TheAlexJonesStore.com.
leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order. It's Alex Jones. Receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. You're listening to Alex Jones.
But listen, I just told that story for the first time. I think I may have halfway told it before. And because I got five or six security guys with me, some crew, with my wife, broad daylight, middle of the afternoon, about to go eat. And I was physically looked at him as I'm walking and was like pushed back. And my wife's like, are you okay? And I'm like, look. And then I'm like, and then they just turns and gets, I was like, am I seeing this? And folks, I'm telling you, it looked like scarier than like the remake in the 90s of Nosferatu. I mean, it looked like, I thought like vampire. In fact, I said on here before, I saw guys in black look like vampires. And I kind of looked at the other people with them and they were all in black, fedoras, black jackets. It was just cold and they were piling into an SUV and they were laughing and talking, but the big one turned and looked at me. And it was like, and it was just like the skin was all like scarred looking, totally white, like translucent. And this is what people said. And I just reminded by Lewis, our social media guy, has been there for 15 years. He said, don't you remember when Fritz Springmeier was here? He talked about that. And what you just said, that he only saw them a few times and they put him in prison because they were so upset about his book. And then a few times in his, he'd wake up at night, turn the light on, and they would, the same guys were there in his room. Folks, I'm just telling you, this is all real. I mean, I saw this bigger than Dallas, and I've never, one time when I was like 12, you know, they drop you off the truck to go to your deer stand out, in, you know, your tree stand out nowhere, and there are mountain lions in East Texas, and I heard like a mountain lion roar, and it scared me that time. This was nothing like it. It was a, saw it, registered, and then just was pushed up against the wall. And my wife's like, are you all right? So I'm going to stop telling the story. That happened, but you're an expert on this, and it ties into it all, so I'm going to shut up. Let's get into Men in Black and then everything that's happening.
Well, absolutely. These are the types of experiences, though, that, you know, it goes, it's intergenerational very often as well, if there's some kind of pattern of tracking in relation to this. But it instantly, when you talk about something like that, I think directly of Aleister Crowley's involvement with the entire UFO issue very early on. And it's quite fascinating because I put up a few exhibits, but right in the beginning there, there's an exhibit of Lamb, who's a very interesting and important character. I try to think of the name. It's actually number 5 is the exhibit. But Lamb is very important because this was literally Crowley communicating with an alien, or what he thought was an alien. And he had gone directly.
When he went into the pyramid, into this ritual, this is what he drew. Before the whole great thing was seen, any of this was this.
Now, this is important because the grays had not been reported. You're exactly right. That picture's from 1920. So what was he seeing? He's already dealing with the gigantic head and the strange entity. So instantly we have a hint of what's to come. By the time you get to the 1960s, you're dealing with the gray aliens. And by the time the 1980s, you have something that doesn't even look human at all. It's just a bubble head with black eyes. So certainly they increased, you know, their frequency in relation to this. And we started to hear over and over again in relation to witnesses about breeding programs. And this wasn't the government breeding aliens. This was the other way around.
And that leads us to what Matt Gaetz is saying, being visited by the Army and briefing them on human-alien hybrids.
Yes, exactly. And this is the interesting thing, because it sounds like over the course of time, the process has come back to us, and we're doing the reverse engineering on the alien bodies. Now, I can tell you somebody very solid in the background there. His name was Sarbarker. He was a top physicist in America. And he said, we've looked at these crashes. We thought the beings that were inside were insects, because their bodies were kind of constructed. But we definitely thought the bodies were made. They weren't physical, organic life. So somebody had made these kind of androids to go out. And he said they were developed like insects so they could pick up the tremendous G-force that went along with all of this. So when you look at that, I think we're really talking about people who were inside and were part of the actual UFO file. Now, those voices, even Robert Sarbark, you can't even find a Wikipedia page on him. He's been wiped out of history, essentially. But he was as big an Oppenheimer in his time. And in fact, he came out and helped these researchers in the 80s and 90s and said, look, this is what's going on. We redeveloped all this stuff. Then he died. So when we look at those people in the background, they've told us, they've kicked it off. And, you know, there's trying to be a lot of misinformation and people saying, well, you know, MJ-12 wasn't real or whatever it is. You have real people on the record. There's too much important information in the background. So now I think the groups inside the government, like the Expertech group, are looking at this and they're saying, you know what? We need the narrative control. We need to control the narrative and we need a program for doing that. So if they're talking now back there about a UFO threat, or if you have J.D. Vance saying, well, you know what? UFOs are demons. I mean, it's very extraordinary. That's a vice president, and he's talking about a phenomena and ascribing his own religious belief to it.
Yeah, regardless, they're getting ready for some big disclosure, whether it's true or not. Do you think Trump actually wants the truth, and is he getting the truth?
Well, I think Trump thinks in terms of advantages, and he wants to be historic, but he also has been trying to pull that UFO file back under executive control. He knows, going all the way back to John F. Kennedy, Kennedy was trying to do the same thing. Eisenhower instructed him to get it back from the corporations and bring it back under the executive branch because then it was accountable to the government. Now, if we look at that history, what's going on is Trump is leapfrogging in the middle of all this because his uncle gave him that knowledge very early on. And when we look at John Trump, we have an extraordinary figure right in the heart of the UFO file because he worked for Vannevar Bush. He was Vannevar Bush's protege.
And people thought Trump was dumb when he on Fox said, I know about nukes, I know about my uncle. It was like he's saying, I know the future.
Yes, exactly. And I think this has been part of the problem with Trump. He has three main characters in the background that make him very dangerous for the deep state, but also he can be co-opted by the deep state if he's not careful. Like we're seeing the things, the reports that you've been doing about Iran are absolutely spot on. This is something that is so unlike Trump and totally against his philosophy in general that we have to think the whole administration has been co-opted in some regard. And unless they get control back from that group and get out of those wars in the Middle East, which were the big bane of the W. Bushes and all that, you know, then that's a whole neocon thing. We've been through that movie. The thing is, the core thing about the actual UFO file is it gets us into a totally different paradigm. The group on the inside, what they've been trying to do is create a sky event, and they have gone through various drone permutations like the drone waves over these bases, and they're saying, you know, we're having drones over Secretary of War Pete Hegseth's house or Marco Rubio. You're never going to have a drone over some of their houses. They must know exactly what the origin of that is, and if they don't, then we're in really, really deep trouble because that's an extraterritorial force that's basically saying we have impunity to do anything we want in your skies. And the only reason I think there's maybe a possibility that that is exactly what's happening is it was happening to Trump when he was president-elect and he was kind of going around in those motorcades. And what did he do when he heard about all these drones and everything? He said, well, I'm putting a drone buster on top. You saw the cars driving around with drone busters. Well, you know, if we had control of our skies, obviously that wouldn't be the kind of thing that was happening. And
is it basically the breakaway civilization harassing the regular civilization, or is it multiple breakaways?
There's no question. They do splinter off. There's no question about it. There are divisions. There are factions. But when you're talking about blackmailing the actual government, this group, which is member right between a corporate state and the actual state, this group has access to that technology for 80 years. They're the ones who have it. We are the ones who want it. Right. And we are on almost like a loan basis with these people. So, you know, we have this whole thing about the moon mission going on. This is absolutely fascinating because this has been promised for years and years. These guys that are going up right now, they're not even going to land on the moon. They're just doing an orbit around the moon. And this should be fascinating. But one of the things that they said taking off, there were two very, very unusual things. I'm not sure people picked up on this. One of the things was the leader.
About Artemis II. So again,
Artemis II
going back to the moon since the 70s. And then it's launched on April Fool's. We see the big rocket take off. Keep going.
Yes, that's exactly what it is. And this is fascinating because what happens is the leader of that mission says, this is the first time we're going to the moon. I mean, that's very, you know, he knows that's going to be picked up and say, hey, we never went to the moon in the first place. So it's a weird statement for him to make. The second one.
And he couches it, though, first time go to the moon with us still in low orbit. So it obviously it's meant to be covered by that, but very provocative. Yeah. Exactly. They're stirring us up.
Exactly. They know what people are going to be grabbing the headline for. You know, this reminds me of when the COG commander came out and said, oh, yeah, we shot down a UFO. Well, they shot down a balloon in that case, but they're trying to prep people's minds for this. And the thing about the sky event that I think is so crucial is they need a deep event, just like they needed a deep event with 9/11, just like they needed the, you know, the COVID op and all the rest. They need a deep event in relation to space and the UFO file. And they've been brewing this threat. So what you're seeing in the headlines over and over again is threat, threat, threat. They have to gin up the UFO file as a threat because then they can control the threat.
Absolutely. So let's expand on that, but just go back to Artemis II. You have the commander of the mission. We'll play the club. When I saw it yesterday, I went, he says, first time we got on the moon with people in low Earth orbit. So he says it, he's smiling to say we never went, but then to say, no, I meant with us in low Earth orbit at the same time. Obviously provocative. Why are they stirring it up? Here's the club.
It might land wrong, but I'm going to try anyway. This is the first time we're going to send humans to the moon, and we're going to have humans in low Earth orbit. That is awesome. Like, we should, as humanity, we should take a brief moment to go, that's awesome. One of the things that we most asked for and look forward to is we are going to do a crew conference between Integrity and the International Space Station, the crew that's up there.
I mean, you know, that's extraordinary. It really is. And he knows that he's putting that across there and that this is the first time Americans have gone back to the moon in over 50 years. So to lay it out there makes it sound like, oh, we never went there in the first place. This is absolutely crucial because they laid out those rumors themselves in the very early stages. It was NASA who was behind the rumors that we didn't go. How do you square that? Why would they want those types of rumors out there?
Well, what is your bottom line? Because you love to get into all the facts. That's great. Your personal opinion. What really happened? Did we go to the moon? From all my evidence, we got a way more advanced space program. I had friends that were on the main mission on the ground running, and they said, no, we were communicating with it, but there was a bunch of other weird stuff. We saw other craft flying everything around, which has been released before. So what really happened?
Well, they were operating with a kind of torsion physics. They've never shared that. Nobody else has it. That's why nobody else has gone to the moon and come back. You know, the Russians can send unmanned probes there. Big deal. You know, we've been doing it for 60, 70 years. And the fact that we have manned missions that go back to 1969, if you look at that, the Russians, the Chinese, nobody's been able to do that.
Well, that's what I was told by Raymond Teague. He wouldn't give me the classified stuff. He had, like, presidential combination letters on his wall. It was, like, on record, like, running the cameras on the moon. He said, listen, we went. There was other stuff. I can't get into it. I don't even know. But it was, you know.
Oh, absolutely. And here's the thing. What did they find on the moon? This is the problem. And if they found ruins on the moon, that's a very big problem in terms of how do you deal with human society in relation to that? How do you measure their reaction and all the rest of it? So that was the subject of a study all the way back in the 1960s by the Brookings Institute. How would humanity react if we found ruins on Mars or the moon? So they've been studying this for a long, long time. The fact is they knew what they were going to encounter when they got up there.
And why is Mars they were also scared off. With a massive radioactive ice tub that's only from hydrogen bombs?
Yes. And here's another thing when you get around that issue. Isn't it interesting that we have this tie-in with the UFO file and nukes? Over and over again, this has come up, and we have a number of cases where UFOs have just hovered over nuclear bases and shut down their missiles. So whoever is operating that technology, and again, I think what you're looking at is a group that is completely alien in the sense that they are not human. And I think what you're looking at is our imitation of that group based on the fact of our own communications with them or our own redevelopment of their technology. That's the biggest problem in the heart of all this, which is to think of it just as you were saying, as some group that's out there in Alpha Centauri who comes and visits once in a while doesn't make any sense. But something that is beyond us on a dimensional level that we're trying to communicate with and that groups in our own human past communicated with, that's the different level. That is the mystery school level of understanding all of this. And that's where people on the good side, you know, like a Rudolf Steiner, were trying to say, hey, you know, there's this Ahriman figure and he's influencing humanity in the 21st century. This is going to be his big heyday. And then you have people like Crowley on the other side saying, I can conjure up this being and I can interact with his knowledge and take over the world. You know, so you have these factors going on in the background, but there's no question that there's a mystery school war in the background of all this that manifests as a scientific war in the background. That's where the breakaway aspect comes in. We have to understand there's a group that holds the advanced technology and that they are above congressional censure. They're above the president. This is the problem. And the president is the constitutional authority in the country. So this back and forth with the Space Force and all the rest of it, The problem with Trump, I think, in this case, is that they're trying to get him into the war mode around space. And, you know, with space as a warfighting domain, and Kennedy said exactly the opposite. Kennedy said, we're going up there to create an entire different frontier for humanity. And Kennedy was very well-versed and read in on the UFO file because he had been so close with Forrestal and all these others who knew so much about it. And he also knew that people were assassinated by this Exprotect group over the UFO file. And I consider him one of the most high-profile people who was eliminated over this program. You know, we have many officials now.
Generals and their staff and all these scientists are being killed and disappearing. I mean, this is big stuff's happening.
Well, this is 2026. Welcome to 26. Welcome to Thunderdome. Right? We're going hardcore into the hardcore point of this. And the point of
it is... By the way, you were on a few years ago. You predicted stuff was about to get very violent.
Yes, exactly. Well, they get violent at a point where their program's exposed and it gets ahead of them. This is the nature of the problem with the Exprotect group. And usually, as I've said, they're more subtle. And you can see their subtle footprints through history. And it's very interesting because everyone agrees that there's a group like this somewhere in the background, but they've never unified the information around it. You can go back to the work of Donald Kehoe and some of these early guys, and they said there's this thing called the Silence Group. And they're basically getting the silence of these top generals in the Air Force. And if they don't get the silence, then they silence them. Well, you know, the Silence Group is the Exprotect group. It comes from
sure,
the same
thing. Sure, I
want
to get back to that in a moment. But what do you make of Burchett? We don't know what he was briefed on, but he said it would set the world on fire. He said it would set the world, he didn't say on fire, but it would panic everybody. What do you think he's being briefed with?
Well, this is very interesting because this is part of a program too. When things start to get hot and heavy, you look at people like Burchett, Burleson, and Luna. They've all been brought forward as the UFO people, right? For some reason, they're congressional people who talk about UFOs. Now, there's no real interesting reason in the background why they should, but even Gates was in that program as well. So there's something in that loop. I know there's a Florida connection because Rubio also talked about the UFO file. So there's something in the root of all this where they're trying to say something in the background is saying there's a whole wave of this technology that's coming in. We're going to reveal this
technology.
And Vance
is positioning himself as that.
He is. There's no question about it. He's supposed to be the first. He's the one who can talk openly about it to a new generation. And the only thing I think is fascinating about what he's doing is calling it a demon. You see, if you're a VP and you call UFOs demons, you are really, you know, that is a totally, think about national security. It's taking this guy's idea. Where is he coming from by saying UFOs are demons? You know, so when I think about-
And you know, that's been approved, that's been war game, that's been planned. So in your opinion, yeah. Why is he doing that?
I think what they're trying to do, they're going to reveal UFOs and they want to take the Christian audience, which is generally will look at this and say, you know, it's outside of Christian purview with the UFO file. But that's not actually true, but that's how they view it. And they say, we're going to be able to pull this in by saying, hey, they're interdimensional devils. We'll just pull them in this way. And that's how they're a threat. And therefore we have a war office. We're fighting demons. And they also have been trying to get
that goes to Stephen Greer forever saying they're trying to demonize it for a war. But that's
yes. Yes, he does. He's made that point. There's no question about it. I think the only problem I get with some of that is, of course, there's a mix here, which is there's also the Space Brothers idea, right? And this is incredible, benevolent Pleiadian groups that are going to come here and rescue humanity. Well, we're in a very interesting paradigm because we need to learn about these things, but we need to learn that the information we're getting on the government side is a complete lie. And the
sure,
reason
well,
that they're lying...
I want to talk about this, but he has his connections to Israel, the Rockefellers, and others. There's definitely an obsession in that group with it. But you know, generally, yes. I think a lot of what he's saying is being validated. So... Let me ask you this from your research, not getting into speculation, but just generally what's thought, because you have all these whistleblowers on talk shows. Oh, I met with the reptoid. I met with the, but they threatened to kill me, but I'm like, it's obviously fake. You can see it. But looking at this versus interdimensional versus visitors versus whatever, what are the known, like who is it supposedly Eisenhower met with or what is it?
Well, I think you have off-world visitors. I don't think there's any question about that. But at the same time, if you go deep into it, you're going to find the Atlantean explanation for so much of
this. No, I agree with you that it is actually a real breakaway civilization. The globalists say they're going to create high-tech reservations, keep us like animals at an agrarian level, and that the Earth will just be like a nature preserve, as Jeff Bezos said. Well, that already happened. I agree. They're humanoid, whatever. It's breakaway humans. That's what most people I talk to say it is, that basically are now... use us as a form of entertainment or body parts or they still need the old to control the new or there's some fetish keeping us around that this isn't aliens. This is This is what we hear about with all the ancient cultures, you know, going back, to all the ancient texts. Is that what you're saying?
Absolutely. And when you think about it, the people who were very serious on these subjects, like John Mack, who I got a chance to know, he was over here at Harvard as a professor, as a tenured professor, and they went after him amazingly. He died maybe about 10 years ago, but he had this incredible background, and he went into this subject, and he got attacked for it. And it was interesting, when I talked to him, he said, well, it's nothing at all like we understand, because when the people get abducted in these experiences, they go through things. It's not like they get put into a ship and grabbed and dragged along. They go through walls. So there's a whole different dynamics. There's a whole different physics that's involved here. This is the apotheum. This is the physical reality distortion physics that goes along with this. That's the problem.
But this goes back to the Epic of Gilgamesh, Sumeria. It all describes this. So does the Old Testament. So the Egyptians. So you hear all this new stuff, but it's in all the ancient texts. So clearly this isn't just modern propaganda. They're trying to spin it. There's something else going on.
There's no question about it. And no, this phenomena has been with us since the beginning of time. There's no question about that. This goes all the way back to the Mayans and the Egyptians. I'm glad you mentioned Gilgamesh, because that is actually the original Noah's Ark story. And there's a line in there where they're taking him up in this ship, and he's looking down and he says, oh, the earth looks like porridge. Well, if you were going up fast in a craft and looking down at the earth, that would be your explanation in 3000 BC, that the earth looks like porridge. There's a series of biblical references in around the UFO file. The Ezekiel reference is fascinating, but if you look deeply into that, with the wheels within a wheels and the eyes that shift and the wings, he's describing a gigantic machine, and there's no question.
But then he says the creature, the angel, comes off on a floating platform in the Hebrew and Arabic with a crystal dome over its head, and then communicates with him. I mean, it's literally Close Encounters.
It is. And what's interesting about that is he's talking about crystals there, and he calls it the terrible crystal. Well, that's very interesting, because Casey's whole story in relation to Atlantis was they had the terrible crystal. They had the two-eye stone that powered the civilization, but it took everything down. So it was a technology on one hand, but what was the other aspect of it? Well, Casey said they used it to communicate with the saintly realm. So the technology being used is an interdimensional
communication system.
Yes. Yes, and it goes both ways, because what they're talking about, when you talk about demons and other things, there's no question that that's a reality. You know, it's fascinating. I had a conversation with Graham Hancock, and Graham Hancock's done a lot of psychedelic experience things, but he's the Atlantis expert, and I had him out here in Cambridge, and we did a whole interview series. Well, it was interesting, because what he said was, when he was doing these ayahuasca trips with the DMT and all the rest of it, what was he seeing? He was seeing grays. So the grays were popping into his experience while he was doing this interdimensional thing.
By the way, everybody does.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's a classic elf. They're grays with like little green hats, and if they get pissed off, they'll pull it off. Like you said, they're like a praying mantis. This is like universal.
It is. And that's a whole shapeshifter quality depending on our own subconscious. I think that that is an absolute fact. But it's interesting to me, because a guy like Hancock wasn't even into UFOs, but they're popping into his experience. So they have a way to dance between physical reality. They show up, they disappear. And then when people are into these psychedelic spiritual seeking trips, they show up there as well.
Well, that's it. I mean, our brain is the control panel. So
yes, exactly.
A real enemy doesn't show up with tanks. It goes into your brain.
Right. Exactly. And your brain is the interactive point. It's interesting, when they've gone to redevelop the craft, some of the very clear cases, it's much fuzzier now after the fact with these whistleblowers. But if you go into the older cases, you find the actual facts of these people who came forward and said, when we sent people in to redevelop the craft, a number of strange experiences happened to them. They couldn't spend more than 20 minutes inside those craft.
Because
that's
the
how
veil
it
was lifted.
Exactly. So it's not just like, hey, there's a crashed UFO and a bunch of dead bodies. You're dealing with a whole, as you mentioned, interdimensional experience when you're dealing with this. Because if those people, when they interact at that level, they start seeing their loved ones who are deceased, or they start having psychic experience, why does, in a number of those cases of the UFO contactees, their psychic experience goes off the charts? Suddenly they become telepathic. Suddenly they become psychic, you know, they can do psychic trance readings. They can see into the future. Well, obviously, the interactions brought them to an entirely different level, and that's opened up some latent quality deep inside.
It activates the synapses that we are all electrochemical transceivers. It's been proven. That's how, you know, bees can fly 3,000 miles. Wow, 2 minutes, absolutely. We're right back with Daniel List. This is so important, folks. Stay with us.
this? Oh, I've got power plant. Oh, what's this? I've got methyl drive. The two ingredients in the power drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them. Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
I want to make a massive announcement right now. I mean, this is just bonker town. What it does is just... I feel 20 years younger. I'm not kidding you. Ultra Methylene Blue.
I love it. This stuff works, man.
I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I mean, this is just bonker town. I just can't shut up about it. Ultra Methylene Blue. I just can't shut up about it. Get yours now at thealexjonesstore.com. It is just beyond spectacular.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
You can run on for a long time, run on for a long time. Gotta cut you down. Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long-tongued liar. Go and tell that midnight rider. Tell the rambler.
Well, the U.S. war with Israel is intensifying. A second U.S. planned A-10 Warthog was downed by Iran near the Strait of Hormuz. The U.S. is already softening up the Strait of Hormuz for an invasion. I've already got the intel. The troops have been told they're going in. They'll tell them that even when they're not, but maybe Trump pulls back, but I think right now, by next week, we've invaded the Strait of Hormuz, which is beyond insane. So we'll do another 45 minutes with our guests, and I'll hit all these developments at the end. I'll probably go on Harrison. Things are getting so serious. I was planning to try to take off Saturday and Sunday. I was going to tape a Sunday show, but I just can't do it. I'm going to have to come in. Man, what a time to be alive. This is a short segment. Some stations don't carry it, but I want to dovetail this when I post it to Rumble and X and things. So let's finish it with Men in Black and go back to the main discussion after that. So, just you're the expert, I mean, wide spectrum, you're the expert on accuracy, because I'm pretty smart about it. So I know your research is the best, channel with so much disinformation out there. But the Men in Black, are they aliens? Are they advanced humanoids? I mean, we know they're real. We know they pop up. I've talked to a lot of people that have seen them. I think I've seen them. Definitely never seen anything like it. What I saw in D.C. was Men in Black, looked like demons. Huge vampires, huge white skinned, scary looking people, pig noses, you name it. It was like a hallucination. I couldn't believe it happened. But your best quantification, what are they?
Well, they're absolutely real. That's for certain. No question about it. Just like your experience. Yeah. I mean, just from your experience, I've talked to people on very high levels who've looked at this and they, you know, they have
seen literature. People feel fear, like it's immediate.
Now that's fascinating because it's dealing with their energy body. And what I learned when I tracked it back was about a group called the Sami, which were Laplanders in Finland. And it's interesting. One of the most famous I can think of is Renee Zellweger, but they're very fascinating looking people. And the Sami are very interesting because we recruited a number of Sami to come over here in 1912. And the intelligence agencies were working with Samis. They were known as the best psychics on the planet. And they had the best shamans as well. And so many things like the reindeer and, you know, the whole thing about Santa Claus and the reindeer and him coming down the chimney. That's all Sami aspects. And supposedly it came from their shaman doing these psychedelics. Well, it's quite fascinating because the Sami, when they were recruited, one of the things they could do, if you could track back in their story, is they could project themselves anywhere and look like anything. This was part of the powers that they had, and they were sought after, you know, in the medieval ages and things like that because of their abilities. But they are a very remote group up there, a very small group that maintained this, and we recruited a number of them. And I was looking at the reasons why we did it, and it was, oh, you know, the technical reason was to train reindeer. I don't think it was to train reindeer if they were the best psychics on Earth. Now, one of the researchers back in the UFO world was called John Keel. He's passed away now. But one of the things he did was interview all of the people who had these Men in Black experiences. And he started to say, well, you know, the description sounds like they're Asian, you know, over and over again. They're short and they're Asian features and all the rest of it. He was going into this. And he was making all the list of this. So he decided to bring in all these different pictures of these different races to these witnesses. And everybody from the UK, Germany, you know, Alaska, China, whatever it would happen to be. And he said it wasn't just 50% or 60%. It was 100% of the people who had the encounters that he showed the pictures to chose the Sami picture over and over again. So when you think about this, they have the ability to astral project. When people get around these Men in Black characters, they're in fear, right? But they also seem very awkward in real life and what's going on there.
We're going to break. We'll come back with this. What do you think about the ones I saw being really tall?
Well, that reminds me of the Charles Hall story about the tall whites, which are a group here that looks very human, but is also incredibly tall and kind of freakish. And he encountered them when he was the weatherman at Nellis, which is Dreamland Area 51. And he came forward with all these experiences. They just threw him in. They didn't say, you're dealing with aliens. They just said, you know, here, deal with these people. And so they threw him in like an experimental subject. And it goes deeper. It goes deeper still.
All right, back in 60 seconds. Let's continue. Our medical-grade USP ultramethylene blue, exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com, has taken the country by storm. You've seen the rave reviews. All of our guests that have taken it have been blown away. Zen, clarity, focus, like a fog has lifted. It's not a stimulant, but it feels like one with no letdown. But the best part is it's so good for your cells, so good for your mitochondria. It's incredible. Now we have it in sealed capsules with organic vitamin C to supercharge it as well. Get a one-month supply so you can travel with it. Talk to your physicians before you take it because it's very, very powerful. It can interact with some drugs. But after you've done your research, get your ultramethylene blue either in liquid or now in capsules exclusively at TheAlexShowStore.com and it funds our operations. And if you subscribe, you can lock in 50% off right now on all future orders and cancel anytime. Take action now at TheAlexShowStore.com. Become a subscriber and lock in 50% off on top of the already incredible savings. TheAlexShowStore.com is the destination of health, liberty, and freedom.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
We're on back to Daniel List. I'm going to go ahead and do the rest of the hour with him, and then I'm going to tape a special Easter show later, but I'm going to come in live probably. There's too much happening. Warthog shot down. Now I'm being reported by the New York Times, Wall Street Journal. In the Strait of Hormuz, that means an invasion of the Strait of Hormuz. But, you know, I don't know if any other guests dropped this subject because this was more important. But at the end of the day, it all flows downhill from this, that you've got Congress members saying, I've been briefed on alien invasions. You've got other Congress members saying, yeah, animal, you know, human alien hybrids. You have Trump saying he's about to release it. Obama saying, yeah, the aliens are real, trying to head each other off. Something big's coming. Like, they know there's more and more activity, more and more stuff being seen. I remember like 20 years ago, one day, getting out of my car at my parents' house, I saw some weird orb high up during a thunderstorm, but I thought maybe ball lightning or something. But then a few weeks ago, I'm up at like 4 a.m., 5 a.m., go out drinking coffee, see 9 red lights, just 3, 3, 3, over the house. Didn't have my phone because it's in the house. I'm like, and then they all merge into one white ball. And then now red balls are chasing everything. And there's all these weird fireballs coming in. Point is, stuff's changing. I don't know what it all is. I don't claim to have all the answers. So everything I've told you is true. Like when I told you 2019, high-level Elon Musk person wants to come meet with me, wants to go to dinner, and tells me, says, we just want you to have this information. about a base, and they're already building it with 3D printers. And they're going to launch the Mars mission from the moon, and don't, and we want you to say this, and then I did, and now they're announcing it. I don't know how all this world works. I don't think they know. It's bizarre beyond belief. But we'll go back to Daniel Lister in a moment, but here's a clip of myself 20 years ago talking about the hijacker passports. So just to understand the level of lying they've engaged in, and now somehow they think that's coming to an end. Now they want to reveal it, but put their spin on it. Why are they losing control? We'll talk about it in a moment. Here's a clip.
What I'm told. You see, I remember the night of 9/11. I've been on air off and on all day, and they said, oh, we found one of the hijackers' passports in the wreckage of the collapsed towers. Now, remember, there's several feet of asbestos and concrete dust, millions of papers conservatively blowing around, body parts aren't bigger than an inch long, and magically, right there in front of everyone is one of the hijackers' passports, proving they did it. And one of the other hijackers' bags got stuck in the conveyor belt and didn't make it, with all the admissions, and a car with all the admissions of how they did it, just right there, open and shut. Now, this plane at 500-plus miles an hour flies into the building, and off their person, the passport goes through the fireball, through the building. The plane is vaporized out. But wait, it gets better. It's like Gollum's ring. It calls to you. And as I've said earlier, it's made out of Thor's hammer, stuff that's indestructible, like the center of a sun. It falls to the ground and is found that day and produced the next day to the world by the FBI. They found it in all the millions of papers and the dust and the dead and the fires and the smoldering slag. Over 1,000 degrees hotter than kerosene can burn, but never mind the fact that months later there was molten slag down at the bottom. All of that happened. And then wait, it gets better. They found another passport, two, almost completely undamaged. Then they found another one at Flight 93. The whole plane disappears into the ground. Just disappears, engine miles away. But the plane disappears into a hole in the ground, but the passport didn't. Oh, no, they had that one, too, because it's made of a substance, like a quark's gluon particle that is impregnable. They ought to build Abrams tanks out of this. I mean, they could have our special forces wear what that passport was made out of and then just tank rounds would bounce off of them like Superman. I mean, reportedly, if you eat one of these passports, you become Superman. I mean, it's from another planet. It's from Krypton. Okay, I mean, but if you don't believe that those passports came magically out to the ground, were found, and presented to the public, I mean, it's incredible that they were found, much less they survived, you're a conspiracy theorist. You're going to buy whatever you're told.
All right, Daniel, listen, I'm going to ask a lot of questions, interrupt you, you're doing a great job. We'll give you the floor for the next 20 minutes we have in this segment to go wherever you want, big picture, what you think is coming next. But obviously, big stuff's happening. We're at a time of total change. They can't suppress anymore for whatever reason. They seem panicked. Daniel Liss.
Wow, incredible. And it's really true that this is the crucial period there. And we're passing through this period. You've got the war. You've got the UFO file revelation. You have this disclosure. You have the battles in the background around it. You have the Trump presidency and his own base turning against him over the war. I mean, we're in a very, very perilous situation, not to mention Russia and Ukraine and all the nuclear foibles going on in the background. And the articles going out there saying, hey, yeah, let's, you know, we can exchange with a nuclear exchange. It's no big deal. I don't remember those articles when I was growing up. But it's fascinating, that clip with what you were talking about with the passports, because that's how they do a deep event. And they will do anything to get that story across and how they found the hijackers so quickly and all the rest of it. Those deep events now in history, they go all the way through from the JFK assassination, your 2001 September 11th and the crash of 2008, with all the, you know, things that were going on in the background, TARP, et cetera. And then you get into this COVID op that brought us into another deep event. Now it's the UFO file. That is the crucial, aspect. And then a huge piece involving the technology. Now I'll show you where the twain meet. And that is through the figure of a character who controlled the UFO file for many, many years, named Bobby Inman. And Bobby Inman was a CIA director. He was an NSA director, a key man inside the government, but was known and even spoke about the UFO file and said, one, we know what the craft are, but not only that, he said publicly, we know who's inside operating the craft. Well, that's a pretty, that's a pretty interesting statement from a former CIA director. But Inman is fascinating because he immediately, when he left office, he went directly into creating AI. And all of the AI companies and all the people that you see out of AI come directly out of his early efforts, or at least in great part, some of the top people involved in AI. And if you think of somebody coming out from this very elite program on the inside, dealing with Breakaway X technology, and then revealing it to the public through, again, a corporate channel. So you have that haze of this intelligence agency aspect working with a corporate entity. So it's right between the political side, but you don't get the oversight of Congress or the White House and the executive control the president would ordinarily have if it wasn't taken over by this other group. You have a covert group operating and the overt public government responding to their deep events and the things that they do. And what we know over and over again, the people involved in those deep events have connections to the continuity of government program. So
as
they
a
are
deep outside, for those who don't know, catalyzing key historical events.
Yes, exactly. Once you get the deep event going, everything, policy changes, you know, you get a totally different shift in government. Look at all the things that we picked up. We picked up Northcom with 9/11. And I'm so glad you played that clip because you were onto this so early. And I want to stress this again. We have to be onto this early. The people who can see this in advance. And then, so we get the jump on them before they have, oh, there are UFOs. They're hovering over the United States. We're in a threat situation. The continuity of government people are taking over. That's all there is to it. We think about a guy like Inman. Did he take then that UFO file material that he learned in those programs for 20 years and parlay it into AI? And is that why we're getting so many strange things in relation to AI? And is that why we have predictive programming warnings all the way back to the 1980s with the Terminator movie that you're going to have Cyberdyne taking over? You know, and you've got in Space Oddity, you have the same theme. We know this theme. They've leaked this theme out that the AI at some point takes over. So if we were using something other than normal, regular computer controls over these years, were we splicing in, since Bobby Inman was at the head of so much of the AI programs, were we splicing in advanced UFO exotic technology directly into that process? Is that part of the problem? You see how the UFO file gets right into the heart of the national security state, but it spills out into industry. As a matter of fact, the project that McCaslin was working on and that Monica Reza, his assistant, who also disappeared, were working on, had to do with that memory metal, which they had redeveloped from UFO craft. That metal is so important because it can withstand any kind of heat. So we can make any kind of space engine with it. And this was the crucial aspect. And for some reason, these people who actually had patented this technology now, they're working under the government auspices, but you have this corporate control. They go out and patent it. Well, was that one of the mistakes that were made in the process here? And now they just released the call that McCaslin's wife made to 911. And she says, well, I get the impression that he intentionally, you know, he changed his clothes. And I get the impression that he intentionally, you know, he left everything here that was important and took off. So he's leaving
on purpose. Turned off his cell phone and left. It never does that.
Exactly. And here's where I want your expertise, Alex, because I learned about predictive programming largely from listening to your show. And the predictive programming in the background on this is extraordinary. I think that the template that's being used, and I get into steganography very often, as you know, I think that the template that's being used, believe it or not, is Breaking Bad. It's the television show Breaking Bad. Because if you go back into the pieces of that show, McCaslin's disappearance are almost exactly like Walter White's disappearance in the show. And this is the strange thing about it. He had worked at Los Alamos. He was in Albuquerque. All of this is McCaslin 20-some-odd years later. So that show is going on, say, in 2010, and here we have 15, 16 years later, this guy disappearing. And the template for it, there's actually a clip that's online that's available just about certain aspects of that show that have nothing to do with the McCaslin case. But one of the clips is about Walt's cell phone is missing. And there's this whole aspect about Walt's cell phone. If you go into those details and match them up with the McCaslin missing disappearance case, it's very strange because the facts almost line up directly.
Well, that's like The Simpsons, where yes, thousands of times they call it lesser magic, but they believe not as if they tell you, but if they tell you up front, they believe it, like, it greases the skids for some metaphysical thing to happen.
Exactly. It's like a lubrication. It opens up. Right. They call it playing with the medium. They are playing with the medium of reality and injecting things into it. Although the predictive programming narratives I've always found fascinating, and they always turn out to be true, which you wonder, where did they get the advanced knowledge from?
We're made in the image of God, not God, but in Genesis, what we envision we do, so they have to get us to think it to then build it.
Right. We're creating the construct, right? Thoughts are things. That's the role in the mystery schools, is you create the reality with your thinking, so the reality comes to be. So if they can get 8 billion people thinking a particular thing, it becomes reality. You know, that's the observer effect, as it were. The thing about Breaking Bad was so fascinating because I had never even followed the show, but after running across a number of odd things that had come in through that show that were so much like the McCaslin case, it was just undeniable. But then I started to look into other cases around him, like the Monica Reza case, where over and over again, these people are giving up and putting their smartphones in their mailbox before they leave. This is another trademark signature going on in the heart of this case. And I'm wondering over and over again, why would you leave your smartphone in a mailbox? That doesn't really make a whole lot of sense. And in the case of, Jason Thomas, who was missing, he was missing from here as a scientist for Novartis. And in fact, Trump had met with Novartis right around the time that this guy went missing. And there's a chemical, pharmaceutical, biological aspect to this, as well as a redevelopment of memory.
And talk about that. What you're saying is you're picking up on weird protocols that only people programmed by this will get it. So more than that, it's like the TV show is programming people already ready for this.
Yes, they already have the template to lay over the cases. This is what I find so fascinating. And there were a number of things that you've tracked that had me thinking about this in the past. But this case, I think, is particularly interesting because in the case of Breaking Bad, you know, Walt, he disappears. He goes off into, and they say, oh, he's in a fugue state. He goes off into the desert and he shows back up naked in a store. And they, you know, they're like, oh, he's in a fugue state. The police come in and they talk to him or whatever. But that whole thing is made up. It's a whole made up story to hide his drug activity. I don't think this has anything to do with drugs, by the way. But I think the template is very interesting that this all happens in Albuquerque. He's from Los Alamos. There's a drug aspect, of course, with what he's doing. But in fact, he's hiding something. He's hiding a technology that he's using.
And it sounds crazy for people to know. These occultists, they are upset with art forms to tell you. And they pick things that do that. That's the biggest TV show ever. One of the top shows in history. Yeah, I get it.
And there's no question when you look at something like Alice in Wonderland or The Wizard of Oz, they are training manuals, in fact, for certain types of symbolism involving the mystery schools, but that gets adopted and perverted inside of the intelligence groups. There's no question about it.
So how do you, let me ask this, there's so many ways to go. You're so close to this, you're giving us all this terror, which is great if you're read into it, but people probably hear it, it's like, what does this mean? Obviously there's multiple groups here, but it's coming out, they're scared, they're nervous. What are they scared of?
Well, they're definitely afraid on the inside that the narrative will get ahead of them. So if there are people working
they no longer
on
control
their
the narrative. That's what I was told. They want to shut me down is we're tired of your new narratives, period. The fact you create new narratives, we want you done.
Oh, yeah. They try to get rid of your name completely and censor who you were, your show and everything else. And, you know, before you were let back on X, but when Elon took over, they had taken you off X. I mean, this is extraordinary censorship. They had taken the president of the United States off X. So that was an attempt, an incredibly bold
attempt. So what is the revolution there, the battle behind the scenes about that?
Yes, exactly. But when you think about it on the UFO side, see what they have to do, they have to co-opt the message. Because once they started to learn, oh, so many people are into this, they can't block it anymore. There's too many people who are aware of it. It's too integrated into society. Now we have to co-opt it. So when we co-opt it, we give them the false narrative in relation to the UFO file. This is what we see over and over again. And the people in the background, you know, when I talked to some of those whistleblowers in the background, I found over and over again, they were controlled by the same people. They were put forward by the same people. They were introduced to agents and book agents and movie agents by the same people. And guess what? They got Hollywood movies. We have their Hollywood movies coming out this summer. We have, you know, Day of Disclosure with Steven Spielberg. We have the S4 Bob Lazar movie. And we now have the Top Gun director doing a whole thing about the UFO file. His movie's coming out in June. What do they know? What have they been dived into? Just like a lot of these Congress people, they're telling them in the background, keep talking about the UFO subject. The UAP, the UFO train is coming in. It's coming in. So that's the way that I look at it.
People ask me how I knew they were going to stage 9/11. I had a lot of data points. But the last thing was a few months before Pearl Harbor, the movie came out, and a couple other Pearl Harbor movies. They were priming it. I could just see it. But let's talk about that. And I love Rogan. I'm not saying about him. He has a bunch of guests on. But he's like, oh, my God, the other day, how does Steven Spielberg know about aliens so early? Close Encounters, all that is government propaganda. He's been read in, obviously. Speak to that. And all these big UFO movies being in production for multiple years, perfectly for this time, and what it speaks to what's about to happen.
There's no question. Spielberg in particular comes from that very elite slice. They figured this is a guy we can work with. Kubrick actually was a little erratic for their purposes and wanted to get out of the box, from what I've heard about him and his background. But Spielberg is a little bit different. They might have said, well, this is a guy who's interested in UFOs. Let's have him take on this whole story. He's so ahead of everyone. He did Close Encounters in 1977. That's 50 years ago, practically. So, you know, he had the whole thing down, rock solid, all the way back then. But he became very close with President Reagan. And when they did the E.T. movie, they showed it at the White House. And then Reagan came forward and said, you know, I really want to give an honor and tribute to Spielberg. Everyone in this room knows that that movie, E.T., is not fiction. It's fact. So all those people in that room remembered it. And they wrote it in autobiography.
I saw it in the news. Elaborate on that. What a crazy statement.
It is. I mean, it's kind of incredible when you think about it. And I always think Reagan is a key figure when you're looking at this. If you want to look for pinpoints on the board in the past and how it connects up, because even Trump – what I found out is very interesting, and I don't know if you're aware of this, but Trump was part of the continuity of government group in 1987. They called him in. He was part of the disaster planning. But he knows a lot, wrong time before he gets into politics. He has his uncle's UFO file.
He was roped in under InfraGuard infrastructure protection.
Yes, exactly. And what's interesting, when we look at the continuity of government program, it is the perfect response tool that they can use for a UFO threat. This is why you had... when they were doing those Chinese balloons and that nonsense, and they said, oh, it got through because we hadn't adjusted our sensors. Are you kidding me? You know, a balloon from a foreign country? No way. No way. So when they were doing that, the continuity of government guy came out. It was not – he was the general. It was not Biden who came out and addressed it. It was him, and he's the NORTHCOM commander. We have a new one now, Brian Geo, and he – what I hear is on his way out. He's going to be gone in August. So I'll be watching very closely. They're also merging NORTHCOM, and this all works together. So that continuity of program is now going under something called AmeriCom, which is a brand new proposal by Trump and Hegseth. And guess what? It connects to the Golden Dome. So now forget about NORTHCOM and SOUTHCOM. It's AmeriCom, baby, and it's connected to the Golden Dome. Well, that's total surveillance, true, and it's a total encroachment of the citizens, but it's also a huge UFO defense grid using both continents and the entire hemisphere. So when we talk about the hemisphere blocking and the things they want to do with Cuba and all the rest of it, you're looking at a huge takeover. That's where you get the Greenland hassle as well. And the Golden Dome has to be right in the center of this conversation about the UFO file. So if these come out,
can't even defeat Iran or Vietnam or Iraq, but we're going to beat the aliens. I mean, that's so delusional.
Well, that's exactly it. This is the nature of the problem. That's why the UFO threat is drummed up. But you know what, Alex? If they get a UFO defense office, and I'm sure they already have one, we just don't know the name of it. It's not been put out publicly. I am sure.
Well, you know there's an Earth defense system.
Yes.
Well, just with the asteroids already set it up. The UN wanted to unify the world around asteroid defense.
No question about it. Well, Bezos just announced a program as you were seeing fireballs land in Austin and all the weird things that were going on in Austin. I got emails and emails that whole week when we did a show last week. I got all these emails from people who were like, oh, yeah, you know, I saw this and I saw the craft coming down. Then I saw two orbs lifting it up. What? That's not normal activity
for
me.
That's the thing, folks. We're not in Kansas anymore. Stuff is exponentially getting crazy. And we're kind of creating myself included, a normalcy bias where it's just now normal, like all this insanity. Like I'm out at 4:30 drinking coffee and nine red orbs fly over. And then it's like it's not even real anymore.
Yes. Yeah, it is. And this is an opening of a period in time. And astrologically, believe it or not, this has been tracked out. All the things that they were pushing so much with the marketing of 2012 and all this stuff. Well, the Mayans did pinpoint the period. They just did not pinpoint a date like that. But they were in the ballpark, right? We're right in the heart of it. That was 14 years ago. Well, guess what? You know, they saw the big change and we were in the heart of the big change.
Well, right, but I would say this. Prophecy just says a relighting of the hearth. It doesn't mean the end. It means a new thing starting.
Exactly. Exactly.
When you start a fire, but it takes a while to be going.
No question about it. But I will say this in relation to the UFO file. This is huge because it has to go one or two ways. Either you get the real thing or you get the CIA, NGO, NRA version of that and forget it. You know, if you get the NRO version of this with the NGA version, you're getting a complete false version of humanity's past and future.
I get the feeling it doesn't matter what they do now. They're going to stop anything. They know something big's coming. Whatever's about to arrive, they're running around like chickens with their heads cut off.
There's no question about it. And if we look back to the mystery school work, they warned of earth changes in the period. Is that part of what
we're
seeing?
Are we about to see a pole shift? Let's come back with Daniel List, our journalist. Stay with us. Coming up in just the next month or so, it looks like this is finally it. They're finally going to be able to shut down InfoWars, but they won't shut you down as InfoWarriors. And that term and that name lives forever. The InfoWar lives forever. In the potential twilight of InfoWars itself is InfoWars.com. We've launched a limited edition line of the InfoWars 1776 limited edition line. A whole bunch of new shirts, a whole bunch of new hats that are limited edition that take a lot of the classic InfoWars shirts. This is the all-time bestseller. Navy blue with red InfoWars on it and adding on the shoulder 1776. These are historic shirts. And they're symbols of your support and you're being part of this operation and helping the operation grow and expand into the future. So take action now at thealexjonesstore.com and look at these two new amazing lines. I am making this historic announcement on Friday, December 12th, 2025. The future of InfoWars hangs in the balance. It is in your hands. They're having a state auction in January next year in about a month, but we don't even have the money for payroll or for satellites or for bandwidth. We've got this next shot to survive, but if we don't get the funds in, we shut down. So we're selling three emergency limited edition posters at InfoWarsStore.com right now that are critical to us staying on the air. I want to encourage you to go now to get I Have Not Yet Begun to Fight, John Paul Jones poster, and two others, Make No Peace with Evil and Defend the West, Iconic Crusades. Go now to InfoWarsStore.com to get one or more of these iconic posters, limited edition. We cannot do it without you. I have fired the bat signal. Take action now if you want to stand with us in this fight at InfoWarsStore.com, and I salute you for your support.
Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
What's this? Oh, I've got Power Plan. Oh, what's this? I've got Methyl Drive, the two ingredients in the Power Drive bundle, which is available at thealexjonesstore.com. Take them.
Pure power, pure energy, raise testosterone, improve mitochondrial function, methylation genes in enzymatic processes throughout the body. Pairs perfectly, absolutely perfectly with Methylene Blue. These are the two products made to work in conjunction together with Methylene Blue. I made them, I developed them, high quality mineral blends, methylation blends, adaptogenic herbs, functional mushrooms, and the CoQ10, the PQQ. What you want for metabolic health and mitochondrial function. I want you to win today. I want you to succeed. Take out the enemy. Choose freedom.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones. You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance. From deep in the heart of FEMA Region 6, Austin, Texas, transmitting worldwide, it's Alex Jones.
All right, Daniel, this is our guest for another 20 minutes or so. I guess another 5 minutes over there. Daniel, you've done a great job in the last hour, 20 minutes, 30 minutes with us, but I keep asking the question. You've answered it great, but I want to go deeper here. I mean, just dump it out there, spill your guts. Clearly, there's a timetable that's sped up here. All these governments talking about it, our government, Obama trying to get ahead of Trump, everything happening. We already know a lot of the secret technology is coming out. We already know a lot of stuff is being exposed. To me, with all this increased activity, obviously human copies, but other stuff, it just seems off the chart. All the fireballs, and I'm seeing 9 red lights fly up, turn to 1 light. You know, I mean, just it's all over the place. Reports off the charts. You got NASA saying, you know, double the meteors coming in, even though there's not regular meteor showers that are scheduled. I mean, all hell's breaking loose. It seems like the establishment is on a timetable. And obviously, what I've seen with technology, maybe they made some deal. People say they did. Maybe that deal's broken. Some say they made a deal with China now that we've been double-crossed. Whatever. I mean, you don't want to get into speculation. I can get what you know, but speculation-wise, am I wrong that the timetable's been sped up?
No, absolutely. They're acting frantic in the heart of all this. And also they're stacking functions. So if one op doesn't work, if the sky event can't be pulled off, then they have a nuclear event with Iran and Russia. You know, there's always something that's going to draw in the emergency powers. That's the crucial aspect in the background that the groups on the inside are looking for. But if they know, I will say this, I put special emphasis on the UFO file in relation to this because it is a game changer. It is at the very heart of the deep state control, because they are the ones who've been able to build up that technology in the background. And the technology is so far beyond what we have as a normal, regular society and the types of things. I mean, we don't even have, you know, speed trains across the United States. We're kind of living in a strange dark ages, as much as people have said, well, we're all sped up. Well, we're sped up in terms of the control grid because they're trying to digitize the money. They're trying to digitize our communications. They're trying to put AI in charge and get rid of all these jobs and all the rest of it. And they're lowering the human input on all of it to make a very small group in charge of the future and a very small group in charge of the technology. But when it comes to the UFO technology, it's vast. So it brings us up to like 500 years in advance of what we're doing now. So that's not just, I've advanced in a small way and I have this advantage because we're flying faster jets or something. This is a supersonic and, it's a seismic event in terms of the population. Now, the UFO piece has been guarded by a very small group, and it's the military intelligence and the scientists. But the Expertech group on the inside that manages it are so stealth that we don't get to see who any of those people are. So you're only getting the surface, piece of what we see. So we might see a congressman say something here. We might see, a person in the military say something here, but we never get the actual person who's behind the Expertech group. Their mission is to keep the real story of the UFO file away from the public. And the reason they want to do that is the incredible advantage, one, that's involved in the technology. They've been the guardians of it. They've redeveloped it. They feel that they are, in fact, using this X technology in a breakaway situation.
And why do we get it? These big questions. Why do we get it? And then you say Russia's next, then China. Who do they get it from? Or they just steal it from us and we got it from the aliens?
Russia was very advanced. Remember when the World War II split happened, we got paperclip, but they got paperclip too. they got their own version of this. And,
so why did the Germans get the first patented alien apple?
Well, it's very interesting. They were advanced very early on, if you look at the book,
Psychic Connection, right?
Yes, exactly. They had a mystery group operating out of Germany, and, you know, that's where we get the Rosicrucians from. But the mystery schools were advanced on the technological side far, far before any of this stuff hit the public. And it was a rediscovery by the public of advanced technology that we had. Society was getting back into the stage. When you're looking around in World War II.
By the way, he's not just saying that. It's in mainline World War II Pulitzer Prize books that the Nazis were obsessed with psychic connection to off-world entities. Like they were, that's when they were getting their plans, all of it.
Yes, exactly. You had the Thule Society. You had people like Himmler and Hitler, and all those people were deeply, deeply involved with it. And, you know, sometimes you hear and you see these shows, well, Hitler occult this, or the Nazis occult this. They don't go very, very deep with it. Their entire world, their entire realm that they lived in is a gigantic symbolic occult exercise. And when you look at it that way, you start to see what they were doing, and the stakes that were involved for them were very existence. They were fighting for this God versus that God, you know? So when you put it on that level, they were on a totally different line than we were as Americans fighting that war, where we were fighting for freedom and all the rest of it. They're practically aliens themselves. And the Nazi impact and influence, if you even look back at it now, how far advanced were those Germans? They had television in 1936. They were broadcasting the Olympics to everyone in 1936. We didn't get TV in the United States until 1950.
They had jumbotrons for the Olympics.
Yes, exactly. And they had the Bell. They had Die Glocke, which is a secret program which we didn't even find out about until 1990 with the reunification of Germany, and the documents came out. So you have 50 years.
And it was all from, in their own writings, channeling off-world entities.
Yes, and I think what's happening there's a level of mystery school influence that we don't understand. So when you go back and you look at the anthroposophy work of Steiner, who the Nazis regarded as a very great enemy because he was basically, you know, a cult competition.
That's Rudolf Steiner.
Rudolf Steiner in anthroposophy. One of the things that he put across was he said, you know, when you're looking at this technology, you're actually talking about interacting with a different realm. And so he saw that humanity would get worse and worse into the wars, and that this would be more and more exploited. But he said that the political situation in the United States in 1925 was over 90% controlled by the mystery groups, secret societies, the good ones, the good, the bad, the ugly, as it were. So the mystery schools are, this is a background fight with the secret societies. The mystery schools of this right-hand path trying to, you know, move the culture forward, get us into a different position. And then you have these other groups, the secret societies, who are, you know, do as your will, shall be the whole of the law, right makes right, and all
would
the rest.
Would you say Musk is clearly right-hand, or at least trying to act like he is?
Yes, yeah, absolutely. And I think that he's also in kind of a box, too, because there's so many forces. When you operate in space, you're under so many different influences. You're under the influence of the Space Force and the Air Force. You can't do anything up there without DARPA and all the rest of it. So, you know, I also
Trump didn't put him on the new AI board. He put his arch enemy, Zuckerberg, on it.
Yes. How does that make any sense? You know, it is almost like you woke up in 2026 and Trump was cloned out and this imposter is in there doing all these incredible things, starting wars in the Middle East, you know, and putting all these incredible figures in control of high-end technology. And I know that he's flirted with those types of figures before, and you've picked up on the fact that he was saying, well, you know, I talk to bad people and they get me into trouble or whatever. I mean, these are very strange things coming out of him.
Yeah,
and
I would say that keep your enemies closer. No, he didn't before. It's bad. I'm trying to figure it out. So let's go to your exhibits, because I've interrupted you a bunch. You've done a great job, Daniel List. Let's start at exhibit 6, the Finks, which the ancients said had this stuff under it. Now the scans show that's there. And we'll go through these exhibits, because you sent a bunch of them today, and I apologize if I got to them. Why is this important?
This is a very early rendition, and it comes out of a book from 1929, but it comes out of the Edgar Cayce readings, is the real root of it, showing clearly there's a hall of records beneath the Sphinx. And he's giving this prediction and saying, you know what, we're going to find the Sphinx. If you go beneath, you're going to find a hall of records that's another pyramid, and it's beneath the Sphinx. And he says there's going
crazy.
To be...
crazy. Everything he said keeps coming true. This is all on your X account. People need to visit that right now. Go ahead.
Yeah, absolutely. And it's fascinating because he said under the Sphinx, right paw is the entryway to the whole thing. So for years and years, there's been back and forth. And the Casey Group itself, the ARE, which, by the way, the CIA infiltrated, they went in and they put, this is actually on record, they put their own people in there in the 80s to try to find out about the Hall of Records. And then all those people got fired. So they were after the Casey information. They wanted to know from the inside what this was all about. And we also know that in the case of the Central Intelligence Agency, look, they've looked for everything from Noah's Ark to the Hall of Records, right? They know about sacred objects. They know
just
about
like Hitler, they want the spirit of destiny. So people laugh at this. Right. No, the governments are obsessed.
Yes, absolutely. But here's the crucial thing that Casey said. He said this is the period where the Sphinx Hall of Records will be open. That has all the information relating to the Atlantean history, the Atlantean past. First of all, he says the Sphinx comes from 10,500 BC. This is crucial because now all of those things with weather, watering, and the science, the observation of what's going on there, those dates make much more sense than the dates that were made up in the 18th century because they were tracking kings lists. And so the pyramids are much, much older. The Sphinx is much, much older. The date that Casey gave the pyramid is 10,500 BC. Well, it's interesting if you look at that because the constellation that the Sphinx would be looking out at is Leo, and he's in the body of a lion. So that's the kind of archaeoastronomy when you're looking at it. You say, oh, well, this really makes sense now. But what is the nature of it? Well, Casey said it's a sentinel over that original Atlantean Hall of Records because that Hall of Records contains information about the Two-Eye Stone, which is the original power source that they had in that period.
And you've got groups that have done their radio scans and topography with ground penetrating radar, but a bunch of other groups have found a bunch of stuff there, too. Like, there's definitely a bunch of stuff under there.
There's no question, right? So on the outside, you have the scientist Bondi, and he is going in with space radar. He doesn't have authority to go drilling on the plateau or anything. He's just looking from space with his radars from there, and he's seeing through satellite these different images of things that are underneath the plateau. Now, Casey's talking about this in 1932. We're finding it in 2026. So it's clearly there, and those visions of what he's putting across, he says, is an awakening for humanity in the period. The thing is, though, the groups that control, and this goes all the way back to the Mubarak government, when they had Zahi Hawass and all that, they made him a cabinet-level officer, and then they threw Mubarak in jail for his corruption. And all those people who were, you know, high-level figures like Hawass and all the rest of it, antiquities figures, they were doing all these deals and doing all this stuff. And so you see, those were the people they put forward and said, oh, this is the Egyptian story. Well, the real researchers who were working around the Casey information and trying to get older information about the Sphinx, they were all booted off of the plateau. They couldn't do any kind of research at all.
Well, sure, when you've got major alien civilization artifacts hiding in plain view, you gotta cover it up. They won't, they have garbage piled up everywhere. It's all, but nobody can drill, nobody can check. So moving on to the next one here, what is this exhibit, eight? What is this devilish figure?
That is Ahriman, and Ahriman is the sculpture that Rudolf Steiner made of this entity that was basically the elites were using this entity. And he said in the 21st century, this entity will actually incarnate. And but he said it was a dark astral figure, and that when he was tuning into it, he sculpted it himself. And he said, you know, as I tune into it, I feel like I'm in concrete. I'm getting heavier and heavier. So the figure itself is so weighting, heavy on humanity's future. But he had said,
I've never seen a better rendition of an archetypal Satan.
It's incredible, isn't it? And, it's funny because I think you mentioned Faust today, and Faust was actually something that Rudolf Steiner interpreted. And he said the original devil, the Mephistopheles, that is the devil that is Ahriman, and that they actually split the names over time so that there were various characteristics for different devils and angels. But Ahriman was the actual devil. And he said that he reincarnates into the 21st century. They set up an incarnation of this Ahrimanic figure. And he said the technology, the wave of the technology that comes in the 21st century is Ahrimanic. They use it in an Ahrimanic fashion. And that's the great challenge for humanity. And I think it's interesting with Steiner because if you look at a number of those groups in that period, like the mystery schools, they're all sort of rosy about the future, but not Steiner so much. He says, yeah, there's going to be a rosy future, but the clash is so heavy when Ahriman comes in. And humanity, if they're caught blindsided, if they're half asleep, when this Ahrimanic technology kicks in, then we're in real trouble.
Because Ahriman's going to try to take over.
Well, it is an eighth sphere. You know, speaking, the cosmology is a creation of an eighth sphere. It's an artificial sphere of creation. It's an artificial sphere of reality.
AI, it? All of it.
Yes.
Yeah, I hadn't read Rudolf Steiner about 10 years ago, and I'm talking about my dreams and visions of the higher levels. Everybody said, that's Rudolf Steiner. Went and read it. I'm like, it's a little bit different the way he perspected it, but it's exactly what I saw.
Interesting. Well, he's talking about the virtual reality, the realms of AI. You know, when they talked about the meta universe and things of this nature, putting us and projecting our consciousness into basically a trap, right? That's what they're basically talking about. And in the heart of all this, your own psychic ability. So what is it they have back there? The silver cord, the pituitary, the pineal, and the Leydig. Those are the places where the consciousness grows. That's why you can't grow a clone that has our abilities, because it doesn't have that silver cord. You can't do it. And part of the problem,
I think, doesn't reach back to through antiquity. It is, yeah.
It is. And when you think of the obsession with cloning for organs and things of this nature, the obvious thing they're going to go to next, of course, is making a clone of a human being and having that be like the AI. And this is where the danger is, because if you make a being and it doesn't have the capacity for soul, you're just incarnating a Frankenstein. And this is the level. This is where they're going with it. And I think it's quite fascinating, because their goal is to merge with the mineral realm. And when you think about becoming
a cyborg, they want to force us into that.
Yes, yeah. Exactly. If you project that in.
Well, that's Childhood's End, which they tell us with their high priest, Arthur C. Clarke, didn't want to do. So the next one here, what is this crash site image or exhibit 9?
That is, it's an artistic rendering of the actual Roswell crash. And it's interesting, because apparently we have the actual crash that took place in the ranch, but then later someone found this, meaning it's like some kind of shuttlecraft that came off the main craft. And this is what the military was busy cleaning up while redirecting people and you know, getting all the onlookers and things to look somewhere else. This is actually what they were getting into. And this is where they discovered the memory metal and things of this nature. McCasland, years and years later, the general that's missing, he's in charge of the materials that came from that crash in 1947. So we have to go back in our minds to that crash and the amount of things that are said about Roswell, because Roswell was eliminated. It wasn't in any of the literature until 1979. It was taken out. It was censored. So even the fact that we have it and the information about it is very crucial. And I think it gives us that whole interesting background.
It's incredible. Let's look at Exhibit 10. What is this?
Okay. Let's see.
Like a block of gold or metal? What is this thing?
Oh, you know, that is what came off the craft, and so that's a great shot. Yeah, it is. And it has the hieroglyphs on it. If you look at that, now when people would hold this kind of I-beam, which was part of the technology that came off the crashed craft, they would have all these weird visions holding the actual I-beam. And suddenly they had all these incredible powers, and any ability that they had was incredibly enhanced by holding this thing. Now, there's a number of hieroglyphic things that go along. There's another craft. I think it's exhibit 15.
Right.
And for some reason, hieroglyphics keep showing up in the heart of all of these crashes.
Show 15.
And it's fascinating. Yeah, this is in Kecksburg, Pennsylvania. This thing looks exactly like the Nazi Bell, but this is in the mid 1960s. This crashes in Kecksburg. The military goes in and seizes it. It's just like the Roswell crash, but they have an entire town that knows exactly what's going on here. And this is what they described. So now there's, you know, this relic of it, basically. It's this almost acorn bell shape. And there are all those weird symbols, again, just like at the Roswell crash. We have the hieroglyphics happening, and this harkens back to our own past in ancient Egypt with the hieroglyphs and the Mayans, of course. So something going on with those patterns. Now, it's interesting also to note that people, when there's been a number of studies of people, I'm going to go back to psychedelics here, not advocating them at all, just getting into some of the things that have happened. People have seen these types of hieroglyphs when they're in those states under the influence of DMT. So there's obviously some crisscross here with dimensional psychic ability in the craft. And that's the way that they are operated. And that's what I think the sense that we get from this one. One of the things I wanted to point out that was also strange about Artemis before we leave this subject.
That's the new moon mission.
Exactly. If you go to number 3, you're you're going to see something very strange. Now, the Canadian astronaut that was a part of the Artemis mission, he made this big pronouncement about putting a Sasquatch on his patch, which is a very strange thing for him to do with the Artemis mission. There's been all these weird things in relation to Sasquatch coming up. And this patch I find absolutely fascinating. And up there where it says Canadian, you can see the Bigfoot as part of it. And then he puts out the message that Sasquatch is the truth. And everyone's like, what is this guy talking about? He's one of the main, he's the key figure from the Canadian side. And he's putting this whole thing together on his patch about Sasquatch. What
and
on earth is going on?
And if one thing they don't want, you're fired. So he's told to do this.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. And they've been, you know, it's been very odd because even papers like the Financial Times and the Wall Street Journal are reporting about, oh, there's been a wave of sightings, not of UFOs, you know, over Ohio, but a wave of Bigfoot. What? So they're kind of throwing
and
a little bit of everything.
They never find them because it's an interdimensional invasion.
Yeah, exactly. I think it's interesting. I don't even cover Sasquatch that much, but I think it's interesting that this showed up on that patch, especially, you know, he's the Canadian
member. Well, remember what they told us of the $6 million man? It was a CIA robot. They always tell you. So let me ask you about Exhibit 14. What is this? Where you got, who is this scientist? What is this?
Okay. Yeah. Well, you were talking about the breeding programs and that they were talking about Matt Gaetz and all the rest. Well, this is very interesting. Bud Hopkins was the premier researcher on this aspect of it, and he talked all about it. And he talked about when they were doing the hybrids, a weird thing was happening with the grays, which is that they were developing hair. Because, you know, they're always seen, they have a perfectly bald head and huge eyes. But he had these cases of the grays with hair, and he found, oh, they were doing these intermingling of human genes through a DNA experiment and doing it for years. But the beings that they came out with, you know, they had frail bones, they had weird hair. It didn't work, basically, a lot of the cloning experiments that were going on. And it's interesting because if you go into the legacy, like people like Betty Andreasen and others, they would see aboard the craft versions of their own children, but they were mixtures with these grays. So you were looking at a totally different type of being. Those were the hybrids. And over again, we find them, you know, even in the earliest
cases. But it may not be us copying them. Maybe it was us all along, you said.
Yes, exactly. And it's interesting because when Barney Hill is grabbed in 1961, they put a cup over his genitals and they take all of this semen out so that they can do this redevelopment experiment. And when he's looking up, he says, well, the guy, you know, the person who's doing this, it's hard to describe him. He looks like a Nazi. That's right there in his own hypnosis tape. So he felt that the person who was extracting the semen for this experiment looked like a Nazi.
Well, Joseph Mengele 2.0. So in closing, what's the time frame gut level? Obviously things are accelerating. It's totally insane. What do you think the timetable is for all this? Stuff's coming out constantly. It's like, but like, what's about to happen?
I think it is. It's what you said. Welcome to Thunderdome. The clash is on. There's no question about it. 2026 is the clash. The UFO file is this is the thing that opens it up. You know, a couple of years ago, they did some hearings in Congress. You had some figures out there, like the disinformation agents we talked about, coming before Congress and saying, I'm risking my life and all the rest of it. Well, it's very interesting, isn't it? Because here we are in 2026, and they're right in the heart of Trump at war, saying he's going to release the UFO file and telling these agencies, you have to release the pieces of your UFO file. You have Congress people coming forward, you know, hearing things in the background and then coming forward and saying, you know, guys like Burleson and Burchett and Luna, they are coming forward and saying, this is what we've heard. Well, I don't doubt for a second that they've heard this, but I think that they are being manipulated and they're being shown, oh, there's a giant aircraft, you know, there's a giant spaceship. It's right here. And there's no way those Congress people know anywhere about the location.
And Trump
you
just,
don't understand.
They're registering aliens.gov now. Something big, as you predicted years ago, is about to happen. We're on the cusp of it right now. People can find
it's
all
the
your
open
work.
Now.
Where's the, you got a bunch of sites, films, everything. Where's the best place to go to find Daniel List?
You can do darkjournalist.com. And of course, YouTube is the show. We do our YouTube show Friday nights, this week, Saturday night.
All right. And that's right there. Dark Journalist.
Yes, just Dark Journalist directly on YouTube or Dark Journalist at darkjournalist.com. And of course, we do the show weekly, but we also come up with special reports during the week, and we'll do a three-hour episode this Saturday night exactly on the missing general and the UFO file redevelopment.
Incredible. That right there is just amazing. They're so desperate. Thanks for the time. Have a great Easter. We'll talk to you soon.
Great, Alex. Great to see you.
Thank you. Wow, that was powerful. Harrison Smith takes over. But we're focused on World War IV and, you know, all this craziness. All this other stuff is happening. We'll be covering it. More reports today. Harrison Smith's about to take over. Find the feeds at Rumble, the Alex Jones Show, and InfoWars.com, all the rest of it. God bless you all. Great job, group. I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultra-methylene blue, medical-grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria, the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultra-methylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at DallasInstore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade, ultra-methylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar. But more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you gotta do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. DallasInstore.com to get T3 now available. And methylene blue at DallasInstore.com. Ultimate Life Force. That's the name of the new product. This is hands down the strongest, most powerful spike protein detox out there with triple action. Taking all the major best-selling certified safe formulas and integrating it in to just a massive daily dose. And it isn't just to clean out your blood, ladies and gentlemen. It is so good for your whole body. It's got 400 milligrams of NAC alone that is the precursor to glutathione and just does incredible things for your whole body. Not just that, the energy, the stamina, all of it. Ladies and gentlemen, we're so excited about this formula. I don't have time to get into all the other great ingredients in it. Go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and check it out for yourself. This is so game-changing. Lesser formulas have already helped so many people that I've personally bought them for and, you know, given them to friends and family. This is amazing. Get yours now at theyellowshowstore.com for 50% off.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.